Good morning, and welcome to another exciting broadcast day.
Oh, yeah. Get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get it on. My dreams have been answered. We have, at least half to full bank of calls for a little How Say You, 866-901-ADAM. Any topic? What's on your mind? Good morning, Teresa Strasser.
Good morning, Adam Carolla.
Good morning, Bald Brian.
Hello.
Let's see. What do we got going on today? We got T.J. Miller, the guy from Cloverfield. He was a cameraman. He was HUD from Cloverfield. Cal Penn, who you know from Nate Now's Weird Adventure. The hell's that movie?
Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle.
That's right.
And the imminent sequel, Harold and Kumar Escape from Guantanamo Bay.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yeah, that's what it's called.
Coming up, right?
And he's on House.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give you guys a list of things I want to do before I die. I don't want to tip the list. I said
just
not,
one time.
Not this morning.
Oh, okay.
But yesterday, T, I don't know if you were there or here, I should say. You had to run off and do TV water cooler. But one of the things I added to my list just yesterday was rip a guy's fake mustache off and yell, aha. Uh-huh.
That's good. Because you've caught a criminal.
You let your mind run free. Do you know what I mean? Either way, I'm at some swanky soiree, some dinner party, and there's a guy out here who's posing as the count. And I rip the mustache off and yell, uh-huh, in front of a group of people. And one woman faints.
Well, it's a high-risk move, because sometimes a real mustache can appear to be fake.
That's right. Laura Silverman is coming in. She's Sarah Silverman's sister, and she, of course, is in Sarah's show, but has done many... many things. I'll bone you up on her. All right. Let's see. Let's hop to the phones. Roger?
Yeah.
What's happening, Roger?
Is this Ace?
That it is, my friend.
Wow. Just wanted to send you some love from Canada, buddy. Giovanni gave us a key yesterday to call you, so I called this morning wondering if I was ever going to get through to you. Ton of podcasters up here in Toronto, Ontario, Canada that love you and listen to you guys. Ace, I love you. Teresa, you're so funny and smart. And Bob Bryan, what can you say about your drops, man? They're hilarious.
He's gay.
Hey, Roger, I got to tell you, I was up in the Great White Way there. What I like to call, you know what my slogan would be for Canada?
What?
Canada. Canada, the other white meat.
I like it.
I didn't realize there were so many white people there who spoke English.
Sure.
It's true.
I felt like I was at home, but... I'm surrounded by Mexicans here who don't speak English. So I felt like I was home 50 years ago. Let's put it that way.
Well, if you came to Toronto, you'd see a lot of ethnic diversity out that way.
All right. Well, I'll steer clear.
Ooh, I like Roger's accent.
Yeah, I do, too.
Accent?
Hey, Roger. Roger, what do you do up there in Ontario?
I'm a project manager. I work with fire and police to do safety programs for kids.
Nice.
He's not a real Canadian, because otherwise he'd say he's a project manager.
A project manager.
Project. I'm a boot.
Okay. So you're there to save the kids.
Yeah, we do fire safety programs for kids. My wife, Sarah, is an underwriter, Manulife, and she streams your podcast on her computer, and we meet at home at the evening, and we just laugh our butts off of what you guys have done during the day. Well, hilarious.
Well, I am profoundly flattered at that. I really am. And again, I got into this to be heard. That's all I wanted to do. And the idea that we're heard outside of where we're, syndicated, I guess would be the term, is exciting to me. I love that. And I love the fact that you're heard at any time. I love the fact that you're at home on your computer. I love the fact that you're at work. I love the fact that you're listening to shows that are week old. I love all that. It's very flattering to me. Gary?
Yes.
What's up?
Hey. First of all, I want to say I'm a gigantic fan. I think you're the best at what you do. And, to be quite honest, I'm going through a pretty hard time. But I'm still able to laugh every day thanks to you.
So well, that's really nice. That makes me feel good. What's on your mind this morning?
Well, I was going to ask, actually, to give some background information. Back in 2006, I wrote on the official message board asking about your improv experience because, you know, I'm here in Chicago and I'm interested in getting into improv and everything like that. But, just because I've had a hard time recently, I've sort of lost interest in that sort of thing. And I've had problems with alcoholism and stuff like that. And I know you speak pretty openly about how you drink a lot of red wine, like in the evenings. And I was just wondering,
yes,
in all honesty, do you feel like you could stop if you wanted to? If right now you decided to never, ever drink alcohol again, do you think you could, or do you think there
is... Well, okay, let me answer that. I suppose I could if somebody said you have some sort of liver problem, and if you ever touch another drop of alcohol, you're not going to see your kid's 10th birthday.
Yeah.
First question would be, now I'm unclear, can we skip their 10th birthday and I'll pick it up at 11? Because I feel like I could miss a party.
Sure.
And it's always confusing when they do that.
Your first question would be, how old are they now?
First, how old are they now? And don't give me months. That's confusing. Let's just round down.
Adam, you've made the excellent point in the past that if you can do something moderately, if you can possibly do it moderately, then you can keep on doing it. In other words, if you can drink 2 glasses of wine a night, do that, and then you won't have to quit. But an alcoholic is somebody who can't drink moderately.
Right. You could drink, 2 glasses of wine over the a night over the course of your lifetime. Maybe that's 50 years of drinking, let's just say. And you would end up consuming 2,000 cases of wine. Or you could attempt to shoehorn the 2,000 cases into one weekend. And if you do that, if you take the 2,000 cases and you try to shoehorn it into a long month, then you have to quit.
Gary, what's an average day of drinking for you?
It depends, but pretty much, drink to the point that I pass out and wake up and drink again, which I know sounds horrible, but it is a disease and everything. And I wish I could talk to Dr. Drew about something like this.
Well, listen, I could tell you any answer he would give
gay.
You because I sat next to him for all those years.
Yeah.
So, look, I can tell you right now, he would say you're addicted to it and you need to do some inpatient whatever. And Drew was never flexible about that stuff. He would say, all right, well, that's 6 months. And I'd say, 6 months? How the person's going to quit their job? Or how do you just go somewhere for 6 months? Well, if it's important, you go. It'll kill you.
There's not an easier, softer way for many people. He's only 23.
I know.
He sounds so much older.
Hey, Gary?
Yes.
First off, I can't believe a guy from Chicago would A, be drinking, and B, be interested in improvisational comedy. This is bizarre to me. You'll be the first guy from Chicago to have a drink or do group improv.
Gigantic coincidence. The first ever improv show I saw in Chicago featured T.J. Miller. And when I saw him, I said, this guy's got it. I really
Hud from Cloverfield.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
and on the 7 o'clock hour.
Yeah,
wow.
He's on this show on ABC called Carpoolers, which I think...
Oh, yeah, right, cool. Right.
Stuff like that. So it's just a weird coincidence.
Hey, Gary?
Yeah.
Here's the sad truth to our lives. I may continue to drink because I have 2 glasses of wine a night, not 9, and you may not because you're 23 and you're possibly an alcoholic.
Yeah.
All right. There you go. Let's see. Autumn.
Yes?
What's up with you, my sister?
Oh, I'm so excited.
Me too.
Oh, my God. How are you?
Hello. Good. By the way, I want you to know that Autumn is one of those names that could go either way.
Really? I was thinking she has to be hot.
No. Autumn could be a big gal.
Lose the weight, chubby.
Versus Samantha.
No, no.
Now, hold on a second. People think I'm nuts with this stuff, but I did a little piece of investigation on this whole name game thing.
Yeah.
And I have a friend named Erin Irwin, and she's a really good-looking chick, and she's really nice, and she works over at Jimmy Kimmel, and she used to, same name game, and she used to work over for us at the Man Show, and she got married. And she married a guy, and I think his name is David, but he doesn't look like a David, and nobody can remember his name. Now, I hang around with super smart, lucid people that are very good at memorizing people's names, yet whenever I'm in a group... She broke up with the guy, and then they sort of got back together or something, and they were over at Kimmel's a few weeks ago, and I had a whole group of people that know her very well, and those two are married for like 3 or 4 years, and this whole group of people are like, what is that guy? What's Aaron's husband's name? And I always go, I can't remember it either, and I've been told it 18 times, and that's a lowball estimate. So is everyone else in the room. Why can't we remember? He doesn't look like his name versus the guy that looks like his name. I don't know how you figure that out as a parent, but if you screw it up, you will leave your child a legacy of constantly repeating their names to people who they met a week and a half earlier.
Now, if your name is Autumn, are you going to grow into that name and thus become hot?
You may literally grow into it by becoming morbidly obese.
Right.
It's either a hot
50-50.
Name. Well, it was 50-50 until she called the show at 6 a.m. Mm.
Oh, no.
She's got
no,
a cute
but
laugh.
It's 9 here.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Eastern time.
Yeah, and I'm going to school this morning, so that's why I'm up.
Okay.
What else would you ask her to deduce whether she's a hot Autumn or an overweight Autumn?
What school are you going to?
Uh-oh, this is going to count against me. Because it's a technical school.
Oh.
I know, but...
Yeah, all right.
But here, it's more normal.
What are you studying?
Oh, my God. I'm going to do all the things right now. No, I'm taking some classes, and then I'm going to transfer to either Georgia State or university out here.
Now, when you say technical college, you don't mean junior college, do you?
Well, I think out here it's different.
Oh.
Is it like a trade school?
Yeah.
Is it two?
There's a lot of nurses and cosmetology.
Is it 2 years?
Yes.
All right. No. Nice. You just got hotter.
Right.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Yeah, because if you said MIT, that would be trouble.
Are you hoping to be a nurse?
Oh, no. I'm going to probably get my linguistics degree, because I'm really good with languages.
Yeah.
So, and I kind of took your advice on that, because you're always like, find out what you're good at. And I did like the 9-to-5 for a while, and I don't make any sense in the office.
Do you play an instrument?
No, not really. I play, just like piddle around on anything.
Yeah, it's tough because there's a difference between, cello and tuba, for instance.
Well, she said you phony in the band.
My family has like a musical gene, so we can pick up some things.
Autumn, let's turn over all the cards. You're 25. Mm-hmm. What do you look like?
5'2". I'm a little bit on the higher part of my personal scale that I don't like. Mm-hmm. I'm like 128 right now.
Mm-hmm.
But I try and hover a little below 125.
All right. Yeah. And your comment/question?
Well, two things. My friend, do you remember Eric von Hessler?
Yes.
Yeah. We're friends.
Eric, by the way, is from a radio show, and he's a good friend of ours who used to be out here called The Regular Guys.
Mystery?
I think Jack Silver may have fired them many years ago.
He was out there recently and talked to him, and he was talking about all the people that you guys mentioned. I'm like, I know Jack Silver.
Yeah, a couple my favorite guys, yeah. But anyway, Eric and Larry, sure. They broke up, they went to Atlanta, and they started doing mornings in Atlanta. And then, hold on a second. They got fired, I think, from their gig in Atlanta, because somebody had left the microphones. No, let's see. Let me try to figure this out. There's two things that happen. One is somebody left the microphones potted up like during a commercial or something, and they were talking and dropped a few F-bombs. I don't understand why you can fire somebody for that, because somebody screwed up on the technical side. And then there was another story where I think they did a lot of swearing and they recorded it, but they played it in reverse and somehow got played in the right direction. Something like that. Autumn, am I right about that?
It's half right. The first time they got fired was because the producer who was running the board that day left the mic on during the commercial, and they were talking to this porn star, and they were saying all these dirty things, and they were going to play it in reverse, kind of like an FU to the FCC.
But the producer left the mic on.
Yeah. During the commercial.
I don't understand why they would...
crazy, dirty things during the commercial.
I understand, but still, could you fire... I mean, like, if Teresa Strasser went out to the... during a commercial, went out to the vending machine, and I fall her out with a mic, and she tried to get herself some bugles and didn't get proper change back and started dropping F-bombs, would that be grounds to fire her? She didn't know she was on the air?
It was right after the Janet Jackson thing, though.
Right.
Yeah.
There it was right after they fired that man cow or whatever.
Right. Okay. I know. It's such a witch hunt. It's so pathetic. I mean, it's such a huge step backwards. You know, it'd be like, it's really, And 20 years ago, you know, when Howard Stern was doing all his stuff in the, let's just say, the mid-80s and breaking all this new ground, could you imagine us taking a huge step backward? It'd be like in the 80s if I just told all black people, you know what? We're going to go back to the drinking fountain thing. Not the bus.
No.
Not the segregation.
Separate but equal.
Nothing. The bathrooms, everything the same. But I would like you guys to have your own drinking fountain. Let's just do that. Like, can we just do that, people? Can we just put the drinking fountain for the blacks back? Let's just put that. We have a lot of them. A lot of them are just stored away. We still have all the signs and stuff. I'm not saying they can't vote.
Right. Just a little bit of Jim Crow.
Yeah, let's just slide. Here's what I'm asking. Can we take just a step backward? Just a half a step backward and get the blacks their own drinking fountain. Let them sit at the counter with the white people. Let them have mixed marriages. I'm for all that. Just let get the drinking fountain back. Wouldn't that be awesome? It'll be a nice, confusing legacy for the rest of the people that are born in this country. Autumn?
Yes?
Yeah, so anyway, they got fired for that.
Yeah.
And funny thing happened to me, which is Larry, of Larry and Eric, the former regular guys who used to be here on KLSX out in Los Angeles.
That's important to me.
That's Larry Miller. He is now looking for a radio gig. And over
They actually just got back on here.
Oh, good, good. Yeah. Well, good, because 2 months ago he was looking for a radio gig, and he shot me an email, and it was very flattering to me, which was one of the radio gigs he was looking for was a gig in some other state, and the thing said, we need dynamic, we need groundbreaking, think Adam Carolla. I was like, wow.
Adam Carolla type.
I was ready to go over there and work for the station, just driving the van.
It would have been very uncomfortable if you didn't get hired for that.
I then put together a video for the program director saying, this is Adam Carolla, and you should hire my buddy Larry.
Oh, you did?
Yes.
That was nice of you.
But now he got on somewhere else. Well, hold on a second. Autumn, hang on. All of you, hold on. We got a lot of good calls here. We also have Cal Penn, which, by the way, sounds like the best technical institute in the world.
Yeah.
You you know the Asian kid I adopted?
Yep.
Free ride to Cal Penn.
All 4 years?
That's right. Genetic engineering.
Football team hasn't won a game in 8 years. their debate team.
No, they
undefeated.
They have not. Yeah, the Pippins are named after an apple. They have not won. Yeah, but yes, they are awesome. All right. We'll need to take ourselves a quick break. Back with Cal Penn, and we'll finish up with Autumn and the rest of you as well.
This is the Adam Carolla Show, and with a look at what's coming up this morning, Program Director Jack Silver.
Check, check, check! Shake that ass, peeps! Today, the star of Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle, Cal Penn! From Dr. Katz and the Sarah Silverman Program, Laura Silverman! A Super Bowl edition of Gay Walking! A new round of Hobo Power! And from the hit movie Cloverfield, the actor who worked the camera, T.J. Miller! Oh, he's the guy responsible for the shaky camera? You owe me $50, you son of a bitch! My date threw up the roof as I slipped in his popcorn! I mean, her popcorn! Okay!
Thank you, Jack. 866-901-ADAM. It's the Adam Carolla Show.
All right, you all hold on because we have a bona fide celebrity on the blower. Cal Penn?
What's up, man? How are you?
Great to speak to you.
You too.
Cal Penn, one of the smartest guys acting. Doesn't take much to outdo Keanu Reeves, but Cal has done it.
Well, thank you, I guess. I think that was a compliment.
Well, the compliment I'm going to pay Cal Penn is when you first saw Harold and Kumar Go to White Castle 3-4 years ago, you thought to yourself, all right, this is a flash in the pan.
Right. Well, also worst title of a movie ever at the time.
Yeah, but so, you know, like Smuckers, you know, so bad it has to be good.
Right.
And again, boy, don't want to sound racist or anything here, but you looked at that movie and you went, well, these two guys aren't going to be working a ton in Hollywood. And it, as it turns out, we were wrong.
Thankfully. I mean, you know, we thought that, too. Leading up to that, it was only I'd only done bit parts before that in other movies and smaller parts on TV shows. So it was definitely a concern of mine. I'm like, all right, is this like that one big movie that I do that nobody ever sees? And luckily, people watched it, which was awesome.
Well, there's another choice, which is everyone sees it and you still don't get to work, which is that's the worst part.
Yeah.
But you're gainfully employed. You're on a House Tuesday nights, Fox, 9 p.m. And by the way,
House is right up there with The Wire in the show that everyone loves to talk about. Like, there's always one person in the room who swears by House, who loves House. House and The Wire, the two shows. I love those shows. So, Cal, mazel tov, as your people would say.
Yes, we would.
To you,
well, thank you
on that. But let's talk about your unlikely journey into show business. Where does it start for you?
How did I get into the whole acting thing?
Yeah.
I grew up in New Jersey, so I there was no logical step to make it out to California. I came out here to go to UCLA and ended up studying theater, and then just kind of I was notorious for skipping classes and midterms and going to auditions. Not that I'm recommending this at all, but it seems like it kind of paid off.
Sure.
Yeah, Cal, I've read that when you changed your name, you started getting lots more callbacks for acting jobs.
I think that was, see, it's funny because I read a couple of different versions of that story. The original was that I'm like, all right, Whoopi Goldberg obviously is not Whoopi Goldberg.
Right.
Right.
She's not our people. But
So anyone from Shake Death Bala
right,
to
exactly.
Cal Penn, you're saying you picked up more work?
I actually just took my real first name, which is Calpin, and split it in half. And it seemed to be catchy enough to get a few more auditions.
So your first name is Calpin.
Calpin.
And your last name originally is what?
Modi.
Modi.
Yeah.
And you split it in. Calpin is a cool name.
It is.
I don't even know why, but it works. It either works or it doesn't. It works. Now, I also read here that you're campaigning for Barack.
I am. I'm actually in Minnesota right now, doing a little college tour on behalf of the senator.
Well, who better, really, if you think about it? I mean, you're perfect for that. And I really do. I you can tell me what you like about Barack. I like the idea of Barack being president. I don't even know him that well. I just like that idea. I feel like it's evolved.
That idea is what got, I think, a lot of us interested, even in just watching his speeches. And obviously, I have never done anything remotely like this. I'm a registered independent, so this is really new for me. But it started, essentially, living in L.A., we're kind of in this little bubble. And I was living in Texas a few years ago, and a buddy of mine was working a minimum wage job, didn't have health care, couldn't go to college, and he was saving up. He got a phone call from a company that said they'd pay him $90,000 to drive a truck in Iraq for a year for the private sector.
Mm-hmm.
And that really depressed me because I thought, we're the world's richest country. Why are these the only two options for a buddy of mine? So I knew what I was against, the same old, we've had two families in the White House the last 20 years, and my friend still has to make this decision. So I started reading about Barack, and it's weird how he's already had a success rate at doing all these things. He gave 150,000 kids health care when he was an Illinois state senator. So the things that that we take for granted because we're fortunate enough to work are things that he's provided for folks who aren't as lucky. And I just thought, what better person, especially after the last 8 years, to lead us forward. And
well, I wonder, as I just stand back and try to look at the landscape here politically, if either Hillary or Barack gets the nod, and it's assumed either one of them will, they both. And then when you go to the Republican side, well, you got maybe McCain or Romney. Those two, unfortunately, I think for them, their timing may be bad, because although a guy like McCain may be very good, he represents the old guard. He represents the white, older, gray haired, country club set, even though that's not him. I feel like he represents all the stuff we're trying to purge out of this country system. We've had an ass full of it with Bush over the last 8 years. So I feel like Barack or Hillary Clinton, but most likely Barack, will probably get here mostly because we want another flavor of ice cream. Not that there's anything wrong with the current ice cream. I mean, the one that'll be running against Barack.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
I do like Hillary Clinton. I think she's a very capable woman. But the distinction that I see is the same distinction that you're making with McCain. I feel like she is part of the old guard.
Yes.
It's a family that's been around for a long time. And it weirds me out a little bit because I feel like it's the boy who cried wolf, where if you are from an establishment family, then why are we still talking about what you're going to do for education or health care if you could have already done it? And I think she's a very capable woman, but she just wasn't able to get anything done in the past. And I think that's really scary to me.
I agree. I feel like she is part of the system and has been involved with the system. I'm not sure whether to hold that against her. I hold it against everybody who's been doing politics for a very long time. But also, yeah, you make up a very, you make a very good point, Calpen, which is, especially after she busts her husband for cheating on her, you think she could have got health care pushed along at that point. You know what I mean? Like, hey, buddy, you threw Monica a bone, now toss your wife one.
Right.
I want this health care reform.
Usually some flowers and maybe a ring.
Right.
Might this go away Kobe style?
Right.
Oh, my gosh. Well, I don't... I mean, I look, I know that I haven't spent any time with Senator Clinton. Like I said, I think we all, it seems like we all respect her for one reason or another. But having spent time with Barack, it is nuts to me. The man talks to his wife multiple times a day. He is a family guy.
Just
Michelle Obama.
No, she does a lot of campaigning for him, and she's
No, she does.
She's
and
great.
She, like, she was notorious for calling, or flying back to Chicago every night when they were in Iowa to tuck in their daughters.
Oh boy!
Were you guys at the event that we did in LA a couple months ago, Universal, for Barack?
No, I drove by and honked, or maybe that was a rider striking. I can't remember.
That was the rider strike. He did. So this is just a small story that I know it never made the news or anything, but I think it shows you a lot about his humor and his character. So he was talking about, right around that time, Senator Clinton had said that Barack lied about knowing that he always wanted to be president.
Mm-hmm.
And the campaign cited an essay he wrote in kindergarten called "I Want to Be President."
Wow.
And I saw it online in a blog, and I actually thought it was an Onion article first. And then the next day I saw it on the BBC, and I was like, no way, this is real. So in part of his speech, when he was talking about education, he sort of went off on a tangent, and he's like, no, I think I should quell any rumors. One of my opponents said that, you know, I lied about knowing I wanted to be president because of something I wrote in kindergarten. I guess I should come clean and say that, you know, once in kindergarten, I pulled on a little girl's ponytail.
Mm-hmm.
And liked it.
Wow. I know, and I like the fact that he's also open about his past drug use well, or at least experimentation with drugs.
I think that the two books that he's written have really kind of allowed us to get a lot of insight into how he became so inspired and how he is so inspiring. And I love the humor thing. I mean, I know I'm a little biased because I've done the little comedy route in the past, but I love that something that the press could have taken out of context, the whole, you know, oh, kindergarten essay this or that, he, by making a joke about it, he didn't even allow them to make it into like a divisive story.
I completely concur. I wish we had a president with a sense of humor. I wish all people in power had a decent sense of humor. It, why not? It makes them human beings.
Are you saying Mitt can't crack funny?
I think Mitt's very pretty.
He's
easy on the eyes. Well, Cal Penn, we need to break, but I will give you a plug and say House Tuesday nights, Fox, 9 p.m.
Thanks,
we also have Harold and Kumar 2 coming up as well.
Yes.
When is
April.
That release date? April?
April 25th.
And get out there and vote early and often for Barack Obama.
Yeah.
Hey, Cal,
good,
come see us when you're back in town.
Yeah, I will. I should be back in a couple of weeks, so definitely. Let's do something.
Good times,
thanks,
my brother.
Cool, man.
Thinking man's actor, Cal Penn.
Yeah.
Everybody. Oh, how say you? I want to talk to all of you, and you're all on hold, and you have many questions and many comments, and I promise we'll do that right after this.
And now, Alcoa presents Definitely Not a Jew on the Adam Carolla Show. Dateline, Nashville, Tennessee. A 26-year-old woman was charged with aggravated assault after shooting an acquaintance because she was unhappy with the way the woman braided her hair. Definitely not a Jew.
All right, a little more time for you folks in our House Say You segment. Now, I have a lot of you to get to, and I'm going to get to all of you, but I want to talk to Autumn first because Autumn's calling from Atlanta. She's 25. She's semi-hot, and she wanted to say what?
Oh, I guess the other thing was I really love it when you guys all sing.
Mm-hmm.
And I was thinking of a Blood, Sweat, and Tears song that I've never heard you sing that is actually my boyfriend's theme song. Like, you have that.
Yeah, I have my theme, sure.
Yep. Yeah. And his is More and More. It's that Blood, Sweat, and Tears song.
How does it go? Can you sing us a little bit?
It starts out with these trumpets, like... You know what I'm talking about?
More and More. Is it a new Blood, Sweat, and Tears
song?
No.
I don't think there is such a thing.
No blood, sweat, and tears.
Well,
Are sweat and tears still alive?
Meaning 1977.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. We could probably find it. You don't want to hear You don't want to hear any "You Make Me So Very Happy" or "Lucretia McEvil" or "Go Down Gambling."
Yeah, listen to that.
This is when guys used to sing about evil women.
Little girl, what's your game?
All right.
Hard luck and trouble.
Go, Autumn. This is a great line right here.
Tail shaking, home breaking, trunking through town. Never mother's son.
Yeah.
Drive a young man insane.
What's your name?
Evil, that's what.
Listen to these horns. This never goes out of style.
Lucretia McEvil. But you think you're doing fine.
I think he calls her Backseat Delilah.
Backseat Delilah.
Backseat Delilah. Got your 6-inch of a white woman.
I don't know what he says there. Something about a white woman.
Jug of wine.
She's got a double wide.
I heard your mama was the talk of the sticks. Nothing that your daddy wouldn't do for kicks.
Fans today don't sing about
the sticks.
Yeah, no. You don't hear the Killers talking about the sticks.
When
or...
you would ramble, you would sometimes find yourself in the middle of the sticks.
That's what happened. The devil got her.
Autumn, how do you feel about Gary Puckett?
Oh.
I do love Gary Puckett, but he really does sing about some pedophiliac.
Yeah.
Holy crap.
Well, he turned
out. Oh, but you know what?
I'm not done with this. Yeah.
Is, knock three times.
Tony Orlando?
If you want me.
We don't sing Tony Orlando on this show.
We have
the pipe. Ding, ding.
Yeah.
I mean, do we take requests?
All right, Autumn.
Oh, I love you guys so much.
All right, baby girl. Thank you. Enjoy yourself in Atlanta. See, people are happier over
there.
She
sounds like a fun person.
I absolutely
happy,
agree.
Singing.
We'll see if we can find that blood, sweat, and tears song, but I'm not sure which one the first one she mentioned was. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Kiara. Kiara?
Hi, Adam.
What's happening, Kiara?
Oh, my gosh. I'm so excited to talk to you.
I'm excited to talk to you.
And good morning, Teresa and Brian.
Good morning.
So I'm your Seattle board op for the show.
Awesome. Over at the end, huh?
That's right. And you're coming to town on Saturday.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Are you excited? Or are you like,
Here's how you know I don't like to... Here's how you'll know when and where and what I will and won't want to do. If it's something, I don't want to do it.
If it's okay. Outside of your home.
If it is something, if it exists, then I don't want to do it. And that's how it works. Unless it involves driving a car. Somehow I'm okay with that.
Not... interesting.
Seattle's a beautiful town, and I leave from Burbank, so it ain't no big thing. And I do enjoy seeing the people, so that part I will enjoy. I was and traveled to Seattle last weekend.
I know.
Or actually, I traveled through Seattle into Vancouver. So it's a little back-to-back, but it's all right. I'm leaving on Saturday morning, coming back Sunday, and looking forward to it.
And, Kiara, as you learned on the show yesterday, flying first class can be extremely trying.
Mm.
I'm sure. You know, if I ever get the opportunity to do so.
They make you get on the plane first.
I know. And they offer you free beverages?
No, not when you're sitting on the plane for the 40 minutes you're waiting for everyone else to load up. They do not give you stuff there.
Can of worms.
No, look, people, let me explain some about first class. There's a couple things about first class. First off, there's first class and then there's first class. If you're flying Virgin Atlantic and there's three classes, first class, business, and coach, and you're flying over to the UK, that's first class. If you're flying US Air to Minnesota, you'll be lucky if you get headphones in that first class. I'm serious. So there's a huge difference between where you're flying first class and on what airline. But the second part is you think you have your own first class flight attendant. You don't. She's everyone's flight attendant while the plane is on the ground. Once the plane takes off, then she becomes your flight attendant.
Have you ever thought about slipping her a couple hundred bucks and saying, sweetie, I think you should hang close. I'm going to need a refill.
I got yelled at for pouring myself champagne in first class. Because what happens is you sit down in first class and you go, Miss, could I get a mimosa? And she goes, sweetie, we're trying to get people onto the plane. So she's working with everybody else. At a certain point, I was just staring at the champagne bottle that was just sitting in the center console. And I stood up and poured myself a glass. And she said, this isn't a self-serve bar.
Well, after this trying journey to Seattle, what will you be doing there?
What am I doing there, Kiara?
You're hosting our Valentine's Day Lonely Hearts Party, so there's three bands playing, and then you're like the guest MC of the night, and there's all sorts of things that people are going to be able to do throughout the night, and everybody's going to be getting drunk and having a good time. And,
all right. Well, then I am looking forward to it.
Yeah, and you're going to be meeting some fans, too. We're giving away meet-and-greet passes for a select group of people, and people are freaking out, Adam. They're,
really?
They're dying to meet.
Well, thank them and you, and are you going to be there?
I am. I'm going to be meeting you, hopefully. I'm excited and very nervous because I've listened to every second of the show.
All right, you're the board op. Right.
Exactly.
Well, Kiara, let's do a reenactment of what it's going to be like when I meet you on Saturday night.
Okay.
At the Ends Valentine's Day party. T, you want to play Kiara?
Do you mind, Kiara, if I play the role of you?
Honored.
Okay. All right.
Oh, my God. I've listened to every word that you have ever said on this radio show. It's such an
honor.
Sweetie,
can you grab me a Miller Chill? There you go, Kiara.
I'll be happy to do that for you,
Adam.
That's
exactly what it's going to be like.
This has been a wonderful reenactment.
All right, let's see. I've inspired someone to get into broadcasting. Hey, is that Callie?
It's Kaylee.
Kaylee?
Yeah,
what's
I don't
happening?
Mind. You can pronounce
that's
it.
That's what I like about you, Kaylee. 17 years young, Kaylee.
Oh, yeah.
And you want to get into broadcasting.
Yes, I do. I started listening to the show over the summer because I had to get up every morning to go to summer school.
Mm-hmm.
And hated that. And I just, you know, your radio show is a way for me to kind of, I guess, not hate getting up in the morning.
I'm explosive. Yeah.
It strikes me that summer school is sort of like the gym. The gym has a bunch of guys that are in really great shape who want to model or want to get the hot chicks, and then it has a bunch of morbidly obese people, not a lot of in-betweeners. Summer school has the super smart Asian kids who want to go right to UCLA from the 10th grade, so they have a couple classes, and then it has Kaylee.
Yeah.
Who screwed up during the semester and has to make up a few classes.
What happened, Kaylee?
No in-betweeners in summer school is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
What happened?
Yeah,
did
what?
You fail a class or how'd you end up in summer school?
Well, you know, just started smoking pot and stuff, but I'm done with all that. I just, you know,
right.
For a while.
On to heroin. Yes.
No, hell no. But I just want to say your show, I love you guys so much. Your show is awesome.
And you want to get into broadcasting now because of this.
Well, it's like I had several different things I wanted to do and couldn't really pinpoint anything in high school. Everything in high school now is geared toward finding your career. It's all they tell us is, you know, about finding a college and all that. And I thought, I want to do something that I'm really going to be happy doing, and it's the one thing that, I don't know, I just feel really, really excited about it.
Well, the one good thing about broadcasting or being on the air is it's a dream that can never be squelched or taken away. As long as there's breath left in your lungs, you could technically be on the air. And if you listen to the radio, you realize anybody could be on the air.
It's true.
Adam, will you be broadcasting like when you're Don Imus age or older?
I'm going to be dressed as a scarecrow, a cowboy scarecrow. I'm going to be sitting on a bale of hay with the dark glasses on and those weird airline headphones from the 40s that go underneath my chin. And I'll be wearing two cowboy hats. And a duster.
How many dusters?
And a suede vest. Two dusters during the winter. Suede vest with a pocket watch in it. And I'll have a six shooter, but I'll take it off when I sit down on my bale of hay. And I'll just be sitting around. And you know what I'll do? You know when you've arrived as a super blowhard, you wear two pair of glasses. You wear your regular glasses, then you wear the bifocal one, slid down your thing. And I'll just be sitting around reading something. And I'll just be waxing on for hours and hours and hours, and I'll be doing it out of my basement with an ISDN line.
Oh, of course, that's key. You got to be working from
home.
It's
going to be awesome. You'll be my sidekick, Kaylee.
What about Teresa?
Yeah, she'll be long gone. Claimed by an angry fan many years, tragically before that.
It's just nice to know I'd have a fan to be angry.
Yeah, Kaylee.
Yeah.
Would you like to conduct your first on-air interview?
I would love to, but I can't promise it'll go smoothly. I don't know what the hell I'm doing.
All right.
I can try.
Well, we can figure it out. Now, Clint over here, he's 32, and he wants some career advice. He works for the airlines, all right?
Oh, wow.
All right, you want to talk to him? Because,
okay, Clint, he's 32, he works for the airline.
If you want to do what I do, Kaylee, this is part of the job, right?
All right.
You can do this.
Here we go.
Make my day.
Hey, Clint.
Hey, Adam, how you doing, man? Teresa, how you doing, baby doll?
We're doing good, but I have some horribly disappointing news for you.
What's up?
You'll be speaking to young flunky Kaylee.
I heard her, yes, I did. That's fine. I'm fine with that. I'm happy to be on the show.
Well, Clint, why don't you tell Kaylee what the problem is?
It's not a big problem, but this is my issue here, my dilemma. I work for your favorite airline, Adam, Southwest, out here in Oakland. And, I started here when I was 20. I'm 32 now, so I've been here 12 years and, reached the top of the pay scale. And living out here in the Bay Area, you know, the most expensive place to buy gas in the nation and to live. And, trying to think of what I should get into, just can't really focus on which direction I want to go.
Do you have any hobbies?
Like motorsports, NASCAR, ride motorcycles, but I don't see that... I don't see myself in the Daytona 500 on February 17th right away, so.
Mm-hmm.
But everybody's got to start somewhere, right?
I'm sorry, one more time?
Everybody has to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, exactly. Just trying to see, I got to pay bills and, survive out here in the Bay Area, so. Trying to see which way to take it.
What are you going to do? Sorry, Kaylee, I had to interject even if it's via the form of a drop.
I don't know about that.
Hey, Kaylee?
Yeah.
If we were driving one of those cars with two steering wheels, I would have pushed you out of the passenger side by now and taken over.
I appreciate your honesty, Adam.
All right, but listen, baby, you're 17. You're supposed to be squirrely.
All right.
You can do whatever you want, but Kaylee's not going to cut it. You need yourself a good name, like Dusty Labia.
I hate my name.
Yeah, I know.
Still dropped some crickets in there.
But Kaylee, you just get yourself a good on-air name.
Good on-air name?
Yeah.
I don't know about Dusty Labia.
Okay.
Yeah, she's very young.
That's
something
kinda
fresher, something more youthful.
Like squirrely?
Adam, I just want to
wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second, Clint.
Flowery clitori.
Yeah, you know what's good? You know what's good? Which works good for radio? Saint something.
Ooh.
You know what I mean? Dusty St. Cloud.
Yeah, that always works.
Yeah.
All right, that's your new on-air name. Dusty St. Cloud.
All right.
Knock yourself out. Now, wait a minute. I feel bad for poor Clint. Hey,
Adam, this is like
Clint,
a victory getting through today, I tell you.
I know. All right. So, Clint, you've had a gig where you've worn the plastic knee pads for 12 years now, and you want
to... All of that. I flag in the airplanes. I got one earpiece in my headsets. I'm listening to the show. I never miss a day.
Well, thank you. It's tragic that you had to run the plane into the baggage carousel last week, but a fan's a fan.
You don't
That's
miss
right.
That.
So, Clint, here's what I'd like you to do.
Yes, sir.
I'd like you to be honest. Now, I'm not going to assess what your strengths are, but I need you to be honest about what your strengths are other than guiding airplanes in.
Yes, sir.
And I need you to then start chipping away at that. Keep your job at the airline. Do not quit. But that's what nights are for. And people talk about schedule, not enough time in the schedule. Tell that to Richard Branson. You talk to Richard Branson, who runs 15 different businesses successfully, how much time is in the day? When you talk to successful people, there's 50 hours in a day. When you talk to losers, there's 4 hours in a day. I can't go, how am I supposed to go pick the cat up from the vet and take my nap? That's what losers sound like. You understand? Meanwhile, successful people do multiple things all during the day, and they do them all well. So, Clint, I need you to set aside time at night. I don't know what your dream is. You pursue it at night. You keep your job during the day, and you call us in the year and check up with us. All right, we need to take a break. We're plumb out of time. T?
Yes?
What's going on?
Well, there's new information on the case of missing Natalie Holloway.
Yeah, I heard about
and
that.
And right away she goes, whoop, bam.
That's Yoron Vandersloot. He was secretly recorded, and it's been leaked. The next Dancing with the Stars cast.
I heard a little bit about this on the drive-in. We'll take a quick break, do the news next.
got mad at a neighbor, and we filled up a jar full of dead mice and then busted on his front porch.
It's creative, but I'm still only going to give it a 53.
Do a little gay walking with former NFL giant Tiki Barber. And from the Sarah Silverman Program and Dr. Katz.
Laura.
Oh, here comes trouble.
Laura Silverman. Teresa Strasser delivers the news.
Get on with it.
And we'll talk to you at 866-901-ADAM. Streaming the world at adamcarolla.com. Just click on Listen Live.
I'm going to have to be funny. I hate that.
And now, Adam Carolla.
Yes, indeed, indeed. You know, it was funny. I was watching, I think it was Letterman, when I was in Victoria, British Columbia over the weekend, and I was watching Artie Lang on Letterman, and there he was. Now, Paris Hilton was on before Artie Lang.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what's inspired me, the part where I said, I'm going to have to be funny, because as a guy, I'm tired of busting my ass.
Right.
So I watch Paris Hilton, and she just sits there and talks about her five lines of perfume. Not an interesting thing past her lips.
Didn't ride a unicycle or come out in a bald wig or tape a sketch.
Did not put lipstick around her belly button, put a giant top hat on, and pretend to play the bugle. Nope, she just sat there and did that, Dave, are you going to be nice to me? And then she sat there and told super boring stories, and Dave had to work his ass off.
Oh, yeah.
All right, well then, what happened? 5 minutes later, here comes big fat schlub Artie Lang.
Right.
And my wife just looked at me and said, start dancing, Artie. And Artie sat up in his seat and was like, let me not talk about the Giants weapons. He told 140 stories in 6.5 minutes. He had sweat coming out of his sweat. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Now, Artie's funny as hell, and I love Artie. The point is Artie and me and all other guys, when they go on these shows, start dancing. You better be funny, and you better be now. You better be funny, and you better prepare. And poor Artie, I mean, Artie seriously went through a half hour worth of material in 6 minutes and 22 seconds.
Was the chair just saturated in Artie's sweat?
Saturated in pancake batter and Artie's sweat, and he busted his hump. And my wife just looked at me and said, yep, that's right, dance. That's the way it is. As opposed to your Nicole Richie, who's going to talk about going scarf shopping.
Or, of course, Katie Holmes and her pants hemming incident.
Must be nice just to be a chick. And it must be nice to do a show like that and never give it a second thought.
Right.
I'm just going to walk out there. As a matter of fact, I guess we're lucky Paris Hilton wasn't talking on her cell phone during the interview. All right. We need to take our... I don't think she gets nervous the way animals don't get nervous before they get slaughtered.
Right, because she'd have to have a well-developed frontal lobe.
Right. She'd have to have a central nervous system. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, do you think animals get nervous?
I don't think they feel sorry for themselves.
Right.
I don't think they get nervous. They don't do any of the,
right,
you know, advanced cognitive things that we do.
Right. All right. And I say this because I'm jealous.
Oh, yeah,
you,
me too.
I absolutely understand that, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right, T. What's in the news?
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news today from MSN.com.
It's Super Tuesday, and Californians are beginning to cast their ballots this morning in the state's earliest ever presidential primary. California will be the biggest prize on Super Tuesday, with some 370 Democratic delegates and 170 Republican delegates at stake. Mm-hmm. A recent California field poll found Democratic Senators Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama in a virtual tie among Republicans. The poll found Senator McCain leading former Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney.
You want to know what a great American I am?
What?
My wife said, hey, we're going to vote tomorrow? And I said, hell yeah. And she said, you know, we got to drive out to Van Nuys because that's where your address is registered,
yeah,
because that's where your money manager guy is. And I said,
right,
I'm out. Well, what else you want to talk about?
Well, this is according to an overnight Reuters C-SPAN survey. It actually shows Obama leading Clinton 49-36 and Mitt Romney leading McCain 40-33. So that's the latest.
Yeah.
A lot of people bet absentee this year, so it may take a while to tally.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you just mentioned Letterman. He's had this running joke about Mitt Romney and what he looks like. It's frighteningly accurate.
Excited about the big primary campaign season?
Oh.
So.
Oh.
How about that Mitt Romney? Am I right about Mitt Romney? He looks like the guy that would approve your check at a supermarket. Am I right? He looks like the piano player at an upscale department store.
He looks like a guy who winks when he shakes your hand.
I love that.
How you doing?
Yeah.
Pretty dead on, right?
I like the supermarket one the best.
Yeah. In other political news, the remaining members of the Grateful Dead are backing Barack Obama.
Yeah. I don't like this song. I like Hell in the Bucket.
Yeah, that's a good song.
Mm-hmm.
Not good as your campaign song.
You're from the Bay Area. What do you know about the Dead?
I know. Please.
They all lived upstairs from you.
We did have a guy living in our basement that used to be a roommate of Jim Morrison from The Doors.
I'm sure he tells that story to everybody.
I will get by.
Well, he had a film.
Everybody he leases a room from, and God knows what he was doing in your hamper when you're off at school.
First of all, I wish he was leasing. He lived in our garage for 10 years, never paid rent. He was a poet. And my mom thought, you know, she was a patron of the arts.
What the hell is wrong with our families?
I mean, I come home from school, my little prep school, and there's a Vietnam vet, you know, and he looked a little jacked up on a lawn chair on the sidewalk in the middle of a city.
Had they not invented pedophilia at this point?
The guy never even molested me.
It's the Bay Area version of
Clockwork
Orange.
Even hot enough for a Vietnam vet to molest you? How pathetic.
And he was a poet. He was very big in Sweden.
What are you...
long, straight,
Sweden. Listen, let me tell you what was going on before the internet. A lot of people getting high and lying their asses off.
Right.
If you had an effing business card that said President of the World in 1977, you could have handed it to any chick at any bar and gotten laid.
You're really the President of the World?
Yeah, well, it'd be like, Trudy, where did he get the sash if he wasn't the President of the World? You could do whatever you want. Yeah, I'm sure this guy was huge in Sweden. And by the way, if he's huge in Sweden as a poet, how about he takes his hippie ass back to Sweden and just live in a castle?
Well, he did after 10 years living in our garage.
Right.
I swear to you.
Yeah, he flopped in his dad's garage in Sweden. That's what he did.
He had to use restroom because obviously the garage had no restroom. The guy was about 6'5", 120. He was always on a juice fast.
He was riding a niacin high and on a juice fast?
Yeah, and he was always camped out on a lawn chair, dilapidated lawn chair. My little friends come over.
He wasn't on a juice fast, I'll tell you that right now.
No.
Let me ask you this.
I was not cute.
What if you found out he was a pedophile?
But had rejected me?
Just never made a move. If you found out that this guy moved from house to house molesting every young daughter, buddy, gave Teresa Strasser her pass.
Teresa confronts him decades later.
The teary.
I need to understand why you didn't molest me.
You're not my type.
Yes, who's to say who I molest and who I don't?
Was it because I had all those freckles?
You're a little hippie. And I don't mean, you know, politically. I mean, your ass was fat. I was only there for 10 years. Give a guy a break.
But you molested 12 kids on our block alone. And I mean, I was right in your age range.
I was tired.
I saw you every single day. My mom was never home. I was a latchkey kid. I was right there. I mean, what was wrong?
Do you really want to?
I think I deserve the truth.
Nose to boob ratio, not a winning one. So I kept moving. Look, I masturbate. That's fine. Look, you're okay. Heat me up some Postum.
Done.
That would be a great teary confrontation. You confront the guy who didn't molest you.
Well, you might be curious, you know. Really?
Right. No, look, that's the way Jimmy feels about Father Bill. Yeah, his priest. Yeah, never molested him. Wants to know what's wrong with him.
It's a little dicey.
I agree.
You know, why not? Jimmy must have been a cute kid.
Oh, I got to tell you, my mom hung out with some humdingers, too. Old Zorback driving the microbus and smoking hemp all day.
Freak out!
It was a weird time.
It was. And my mom owned this coffee shop in the Hate, the Sacred Grounds. And we had open mic night weekly. Beat poets. No rhyming poetry.
Sure.
Just freestyling.
Rhymes are for
sure. Why cop out and entertain people?
Yeah, he was one of the big stars. Everyone flocked to see Max.
Max?
Yeah.
Did he do that with like three X's or something? What was his last name? Did he have a crazy name?
You want to know for real?
Yeah.
Schwartz.
Max Schwartz?
Yeah.
To me, that means ultimate Jew. Set the spaceship for Max Schwartz. We've got to save on fuel.
It's not even an apocryphal story that he was at UCLA, I think, with Jim Morrison, and Jim Morrison made one movie ever.
And I see your Schwartz is as big as mine.
He made one movie, and it was of Max Schwartz making out with his girlfriend. That was his only movie he made at film school. Claim to fame.
Should we set it to hyperdrive? No!
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders?
Max Schwartz. All right, look, don't play any more Spaceballs drops, you nerd.
In fact, never play this again.
Thank you.
Okay, John McCain, Republican presidential candidate John McCain, has been playing songs by John Mellencamp at his campaign rallies.
Creative.
Well, the word is, the Cougar is not all that happy about it. Mellencamp, not a McCain supporter. In fact, he's a hardcore Democrat. The Cougar had been hyping Democrat John Edwards before he dropped out.
I hate to say this about John Mellencamp, but I think he's a Democrat.
Not bright?
Not bright. I've always suspected that because I've listened to his songs and I've listened to his lyrics, and everyone does that thing where they go, he's really simple and he's singing about the heartland. But as it turns out, simple sometimes is a euphemism for dumb. And then I saw him on Roper. An Ebert show.
Oh.
And he was reviewing the movies. And when you take dodos and you have them do something that smart people formally do, you can tell the dodos.
He couldn't give a thumbs up because his thumb wasn't opposable.
Yeah, not dumb, but average at best. Not a smart guy.
As you said, he's definitely a Democrat, possibly a Democrat.
And that remake of Wild Night with Michelle and Diggiocello, horrible remake.
That's not good.
No. Really? Well, the original's better. If you can't do better than the original, and it's a cool off. They're both so in love with their own puss at that point.
Well, Mellencamp's reps have quietly asked McCain to stop using his music.
Good.
Not the first time that's happened.
Yeah.
Let's talk about the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
Sunday's Super Bowl, in which the perfect season of the New England Patriots was ruined by the New York Giants, attracted the largest audience in Super Bowl history. Get this, an average of 97.5 million people watched Sunday's game.
Half of those were at Kimmel's.
The ratings peaked at the end of the game, naturally. During the last hour, the Super Bowl averaged 103.3 million people. Now, just to give you some perspective, there are 303.1 million people in the entire U.S., so more than 34% of us were watching the end of the Super Bowl.
Well, here's the difference between you and I, and then I'll tell you another funny story from Jimmy's Super Bowl party. Couple things. First off, I saw this news this morning on CNN, and I thought, wow, 100 million people watching the Super Bowl. Wow, that's huge ratings. And then I thought, what? There's 300 million people on this planet or in this country. And then I thought, all right, well, you have to discount 50 million of them because they're, I don't know, under 10 or something like that or whatever right. The math is. That leaves a good 100 and change that weren't watching the Super Bowl, and then I started to get angry. You see, you look at his Super Bowl's half full. I look at his half empty. I was like, what kind of a-hole wouldn't be watching this game? Even if you weren't a sports fan, the Patriots, everybody, the unbeaten Patriots up against a team from the biggest market in the country. Who's missing out on this? So instead of being impressed by how many people watch it, I thought about the more than half of people that weren't watching it, and I want them. And I want their names, and I want them tagged, and I want to know what they're doing during the day.
How do you get a proper estimate with so many people, like, at parties and stuff? You know what I'm saying? No one watches the game alone.
There was 32,000 people at Kimmel's house. I could barely get my booze on.
Did that count as one television?
I have no idea. Well, he has 2,800 TVs.
There you
so.
Go.
Here's the other thing. I was at the party, and Kathy Griffin was there, as I mentioned, and she brought her beard. I mean, her bow. Well.
Steve Wozniak
was there. So I think it was funny. I know you know the end of the story now, but I'll just tell it to you. My buddy Ray comes over yesterday and he goes, wow, man, he was there. He says, that Wozniak, that guy's impressive, man. He is an impressive dude. And I said, what do you mean? He was at Kimmel's party. He was with Kathy. I said, he was? Because there were so many people buzzing around, I didn't know half of them.
Right.
Oh, man, he sat me down. He talked to me all about Mac and the computer and the business and this and that and the other. He's super intelligent, super impressive guy. Then he handed me some $2 bills that he had printed up himself. I said, wait a minute. I talked to that dude. I didn't know who he was. I thought he was a crazy guy. Halfway in the party, in the middle of my buzz. And I mean, I got a serious buzz going, and I started drinking in British Columbia at 8 a.m. that morning, and now I'm at Kimmel's, and it's 6:30 at night, and I'm blasted out of my mind. Some guy with funny hair and a, you know, in a punch, a middle-aged guy with funny hair pulls me aside, and he's like, hey, look at this. And he pulls out a printed sheet of $2 bills. Not cut up, not cut up, but just a sheet. Yeah. And he says, these are printed, they're exactly accurate, and they can actually be used as currency. And I was like, yeah, okay, buddy, thanks. And he's, and he like kind of grabs my sleeve again, and he goes, this cannot be told from counterfeiters who work for the FBI. And I said, okay, you want a beer? All right, dude. I kind of like pulled my arm away from him a little bit, like, all right, crazy guy with the weird hair.
He just blew off one of the 100 most influential Americans of the century.
What would you do if a guy with weird hair in the middle of the Super Bowl, in the middle of your buzz, in the middle of the third quarter, and you had no idea who he was? He wasn't sitting next to Kathy. Nobody introduced me to him. He just introduced himself, but he didn't say his name. I guess he's weird about giving his name out. He just started talking. He had one full page. It had like eight $2 bills printed on it, and he was handing it out to me, and I was like, all right, Prada, thanks. I'll be using that as a coaster. And I pulled away from him, and I went and I sat like 4 feet from him, and then I was holding the $2 things, and I was like, ah, yeah. And I threw it over my shoulder, like landed in the bean dip, and I finished watching the game, and he must have thought, what a dick.
You've obviously met more famous people. Have you, think about this, have you ever met anyone more influential? I mean, you never met a president, have you?
No, or? Nobody richer, I would imagine,
for those
or more
who don't
influential.
Know. Wozniak.
Co-founded Apple with Steve Jobs. Right. And the advent of the personal computer, the Apple, and all that stuff.
He was a weirdo with a weird $2 placemat who had weird hair and was trying to talk to me in the middle of the best football game of the year. And I had no idea. I thought he was one of Jimmy's, like, J.O. buddies from Arizona. I had no idea who he was.
All right.
I still don't know what the $2 bill thing was.
I don't get that either.
He said, I printed these, but they're usable kind of thing. And I was like, all right, buddy. Well, first off, Max, this sheet could be worth $8. Here's $10. Leave me alone. All right. Wrap it up, baby.
Okay. Don't have time to get to the Natalie Holloway story because it's a little bit complicated. I will get to that at 9, but I will leave you with this. ABC is going to announce the cast of the upcoming 6th season of Dancing with the Stars later this month. But as usual, there's all manner of speculation and rumor online. So here's a list of the rumored names so far. Florence Henderson from the Brady Bunch.
Yeah.
Mm. Christy McNichol.
Mm.
The 70s child star who played Buddy on Family.
Mm.
Cheryl Ladd from Charlie's Angels.
Now we're talking. Man, did I love her.
She was hot. She played Chris with a K. Priscilla Presley.
Wow.
Mm.
She's 62. She looks amazing. Marla Maples.
Mm.
Former Olympic figure skater Christy Yamaguchi.
Any dudes?
Yeah. Bachelor host Chris Harrison.
Yeah.
And Donny Osmond.
Yeah.
Yeah. One other athlete, Monica Seles. And one other actress, Marley Matlin.
Good times.
I'm Teresa Strasser, and that was the news brought to you by MSN.com.
Teresa Strasser and MSN.com with tomorrow's news today.
Well, good news, young demographic. T.J. Miller from Cloverfield, HUD. We all saw it. We all enjoyed it. He's the cameraman. He's going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight, by the way. Tickets still available. We'll talk to him next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Still filming?
Yeah. People are going to want to know, how it all went down.
And now from Cloverfield, TJ Miller on the Adam Carolla Show.
He's like saying the craziest.
Hey, TJ Miller in studio. We're just talking a little off the air. From Cloverfield and Carpoolers, by the way. Cloverfield, we all went and saw in advance a screening of and enjoyed immensely. There was a little, TJ was working the camera in the movie, which is, I guess, one could argue the star of the movie in a weird way.
I think most people would argue that. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. I would argue that.
Although not that many shots of you.
No, about 2.5 minutes of on-screen time.
Did you calculate?
Yeah. No. I know I didn't, but it really is about that much. And then as far as actually shooting the thing, because it's all from the perspective of my character. I actually operated the camera on a third of the film, which I wasn't told, but luckily wasn't paid any more money for.
Right. There should be some union that should be pissed off or something.
You shot a significant portion of that movie
yourself. About a third of the film,
It is. There's not many people that are the DP and also the star of the movie,
the
one of the stars of the movie.
Or another thing is, there's never been really a movie where one of the stars of the movie you don't see at all. I mean, I've had multiple times that I, on the street, like, ran into somebody, or we were at a restaurant and this waiter saw that we were reading stuff about Cloverfield. He came over, he goes, "Hey, are you going to see Cloverfield?" And I said, yeah, I mean, I've already seen it. And he's like, "I saw it like two times. It's amazing." And I go, "Oh, cool, man." And then my girlfriend said, "You know he's in it, right?" And he's like, "Oh, really? What, like, are you an army guy? Did you die in one scene?" Literally nobody knows that I'm in it, or not very many people. I had a tough time getting to the premiere.
I got a couple of things to say. First off, T.J. Miller, I felt you were in it quite a bit because all we needed to do is see a glimpse of your face for a couple of beats every 10 minutes or so and then hear your voice and see what was traveling through the lens in your eye for me to feel like you were the star of this movie. So I felt you're very much in it, even though we didn't see your face on screen a ton. But number two, I don't know what movie I was watching over the weekend, if it was Godzilla or whatever the hell it was, you know what it was? War of the Worlds. And it was more inept army guys firing bazookas at monsters that wouldn't die. And I thought, we're in a heap of trouble if this actually ever happens. Because as far as I can tell, the army reservists that are supposed to be firing the bazookas, these guys are so much cannon fodder to whoever these monsters are. They never seem to put a nick on these guys, and it's frightening to me.
I know. That's kind of the point of the movie, is that, and that's what I liked about it, is that I'm this guy who, this isn't a movie about the army and the president saying, "What is it? We need answers," and hitting a table repeatedly over and over. It's about, six regular people and how they deal with a disaster of this scope. Well, and mine is just to curse a lot and scream.
The other thing that was really cool about Cloverfield is they didn't do all the setup and all the ending, which is to say, look, it's a monster movie. We don't need a whole bunch of rationales about undersea volcanoes and earthquakes letting loose and all that. We don't need to spend the first act of the movie going over that part where the guy takes the ship back to Africa and discovers an egg. I don't need that. I just want to see
crap. Which actually is what happened. It's from an egg in Africa.
I just want to see stuff get knocked down. It's all right. It's not a documentary. You know what I mean? I'll suspend my whatever system and just watch buildings catch on fire. It's cool. It's a monster movie. I don't need, it doesn't need to be Chariots of Fire and Godzilla. Like, I don't need the whole beginning. And you know what I'm saying? I think we do that too much. Like, just let it be fantasy. Let it be fun. But with that in mind, at the end, and I didn't catch it, but Bald Brian did, a glimpse of something going through the sky.
There's been a lot of talk about that. Because JJ, he did Lost, and so he has this huge fanboy following. So, and those are kind of the guys on the internet who are...
Some are girls.
Yes, some are girls also. That's which they should call it, fanboys / girls.
Right.
And, I don't know how many, I don't know what the percentage is, but I think it's a strong percentage of guys.
Well, it's only one chick, but she's huge. Yeah. It's basically how it goes and outweighs the collective.
The most important, there's one hot fangirl, and all the fanboys are constantly looking for online.
I'm guessing that leaves the door open for a sequel because the monster was not really destroyed.
Well, that's what people have been speculating a lot about. Is there going to be a sequel? What's going to happen? Another thing they could do is shoot it from the perspective of another group of people during the disaster. JJ's a smart guy. He knows what to do. But I probably won't be in the sequel.
It's a great, be a funny thing with like date. JJ calls up TJ. By the way, you should be in just because you both do the
initials.
But it'd be funny if like JJ calls up TJ Miller and he's like, "Good news and bad news. Good news, you're going to be in the sequel to Cloverfield. Bad news is, this time you'll be operating the boom mic.
Yeah, that's it. I was just about to say.
You're going to have headphones on. You'll be carrying that gaff around.
Yeah, I could see him saying, you're back in the film, but it's mostly just shooting and getting me coffee.
A guy who works in the craft service industry. Gives me a warm-up.
And isn't on camera, really, and has no lines.
But a very interesting story, and TJ, I don't know if you're super smart or super dumb, because either you came up with a great idea or you gave something away. But how about, and I don't know if it's ever been done before, a sequel of the same movie, of the same event, as seen through the eyes of one of the other millions of people that were running around Manhattan when the monster got loose?
Yeah, I think, yeah.
It's a cool idea.
It is a really cool idea, and that's what was neat about this film, is that a lot of people have been saying, and this is what I really like about it, is that it's about the guys in the Godzilla movies that yell, Godzilla! And then run, and
right.
What happens to them? Nobody ever follows that. There it is. But this movie is about those people who yell Godzilla and then run, but the camera stays on them.
I'm always amazed at the Japanese who came up with, you know, Godzilla was a nice start. They got out of the gate nicely with Godzilla. And then they're like, but we need a foe to fight Godzilla. How about a giant moth?
Yeah, Mothra.
What do we call it? Mothra? Yeah. Okay, awesome. Who are you guys ready to eat? We're done. Our work is done here. Really, a moth?
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't. How about a ladybug?
Yeah, a ladybug.
Butterfly?
How about a butterfly? Like, is there anything less intimidating than a moth? Like, I mean, when you're sitting down, you just got a blank sheet of paper in front of you, and we're all sitting in a room, and we're brainstorming, and we're spitballing. We got to come up with something for Godzilla to fight. Where does moth fall on that scale? I mean, isn't everything ahead of guy in a wheelchair?
Well, guy in a wheelchair.
And then the next one is Rodan. Well, now what do we do? Well, who's the moth gonna fight? Turtle. Good, fantastic. Bill, by the way, you're batting 1,000. This is awesome. So we got a turtle and a moth. Great. Woo!
You can't control the gift, man. It just comes to you.
It is weird. And why I do love, at least Rodan had a name. Like, you made a good point. What was the, a giant moth, what should we call it? I can just see the guy going, Mothra. Mothra. That's it, Mothra.
Yep, that's it.
Good. Is there, historically and creatively, is there a bigger cop-out than Mothra?
I don't think so.
On any level. It'll be giant moth, and we'll call it Mothra. All right, let's eat.
It works.
How about a banana slug? Let's go with Mothra. And maybe a moth is more dangerous. Maybe in Japan, moths kill thousands of people a year.
They're a lot larger.
Or they ride too many bicycles there, and they inhale them or something.
It's a scary thing to them.
Maybe there's something to the moth that they have over there that we don't have, but someone needed to explain to them.
A leftover moth suit from an earlier production.
They must have just shot a commercial with a moth, right?
A moth, and then they're like, well, we might as well get a second use out of this. I mean, we did it with the giant lizard costume from the Japanese beer commercial.
T.J. Miller's going to be at the Irvine Improv, by the way, tonight.
Yes.
Tickets still available.
Tonight, 8 p.m.
And, TJ, why don't you hang out with us? Because when we come back, you can play along as well.
Yes.
There's a... I invented something that I find much more creative than a flying moth, which is something called hobo power. And I stumbled onto this many years ago sitting next to Dr. Drew, which is we have a unit of measurement for everything. You know, there's leagues, and there's knots, and there's BTUs,
sure.
And there's miles per hour, and there's all... We have a unit of measurement to measure almost everything on the planet,
but what about stink? What about stink?
What about stink? You know what I'm saying?
What about stink?
Like, people go, oh, dude, I got on the elevator with this dude who was delivering a pizza, and he was funky, man. It was rank. And then you go, yeah, how bad was it? Super... Stunk,
bad
dude. He stunk. Yeah. But that doesn't paint a picture. I want a unit of stink measurements. It's called hobo power. Now, 100 is theoretical and hypotheticals never happen. You would die. The only person that's ever been exposed to 100 is dead now.
Like, oh, it absolutely would be zero.
Yeah, what's that?
It's like absolute zero in temperature. It doesn't exist, only theoretical.
Right. And zero, by the way, in hobo power would be a frozen pot of potpourri. That would be like a block of potpourri would
on,
be...
On Mars.
Would be zero. 50 is a cat that's been fed nothing but blue cheese for 2 weeks, defecating on a white-hot hibachi. Okay, that's 50. You call in, you tell us, 866-901-ADAM and TJ... Perhaps you have a story of funk. I'll give you the commercial break to think about.
I do, actually, in New York.
Roommate, perhaps? Wow. TJ Miller, cameraman from Cloverfield. Take a quick break. Hobo Power, next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show, where it's time for Hobo Power.
Hobo Power is a unit of stink measurement. You tell me the story, I'll assign a number.
It was towards the end of July, and we came across a 6x8 shed filled with between 10 to 15 dead bodies. And I say 10 to 15 because some of them had liquefied.
68 and a half.
866-901-ADAM. Hobo Power on the Adam Carolla Show.
TJ Miller.
Yeah.
By the way, it just sounds like the world's greatest hot dog skier from the 70s.
Oh, yeah.
TJ Miller.
Is he still skiing these days?
That dude could bust a mogul. And he broke hearts, too.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, man. Red, white, and blue sweatband. He had those reflective sunglasses on.
Oh, man. I had never...
Hot dog skier from the 70s, TJ Miller.
I've never gotten that.
Single chick on the mountain.
Oh, yeah. After the Chapstick commercial, I didn't see much of TJ Miller. I think he moved to the Alps.
Had a compound fracture when he was during some freestyle event in Sweden.
He was hot-dogging too much.
Got strung out on Vicodin. We never heard from him again. But, yeah, he made love to many beautiful women in a hot tub.
I think there was a very moving profile on Real Sports where Frank DeFord caught up with him.
Yeah.
Now addicted to Vicodin.
Very, very living in seclusion in the hills of Colorado. Yeah, he gets out and signs some autographs, makes a little scratch, but TJ Miller's not what he was, but one of the greatest icons of the 70s. Some say bigger than Evel Knievel in this day. Ladies loved him. It's a shame, TJ. Oh, where were we? That's right.
Talking to TJ Miller from Cloverfield, who you saw in Cloverfield, but not much of him because he was usually behind the camera.
I feel like I saw a ton of him, and maybe it was just Tim's voice and his hand that is very... palsy-esque unsteady hand that made me think I was with him the entire movie.
You know, we've had a lot of people vomit.
Yeah, if you sit up front.
A lot of people throw up, yes. And a lot of people will say that to me. Mm-hmm. They'll say, like, yeah, I saw your movie. It made me puke. And then I shot a lot of it. So I'll say, oh, really? What was bad? Well, the camera work was shaky. And you know what? Don't even talk to me right now. I don't need this.
Yeah, a lot of people say, but to me, it's the ultimate thing you can say about your horror movie, which is people vomited.
Yeah, I know.
Compliment.
Well, what's funny is one of the producers actually called me and he's like, hey, did you hear we gave somebody a heart attack in Tulsa? And I just love that's like an exciting thing. They didn't die, though. But a heart attack, right. I mean, you can't buy that.
But they're hooked up to ventilators, so we're keeping our fingers crossed.
Yeah, that's right. Hopefully we wanted to go all the way.
God, if you're listening, if that teen in Tulsa dies, it would be awesome for, per screen average, opening weekend. You know, all right, put him in a coma after the opening weekend, and then, God, you can let him out after we get our per screen average up.
The saddest thing is hearing about elderly people throwing up. There's something to me, you know, that's too...
You know why? Yeah. Because your teeth come out.
Yeah,
you got to fish it out. Oh.
Yeah, you got
to
get them out.
Well, this leads us to Hobo Power.
It certainly does.
Yeah.
All right, we have an intro, by the way, for Hobo Power.
Open a window and light a match.
Easy, grimy gopher guts.
It's time for Hobo Power.
That's disgusting.
The unit of stink measurement. The smell
that surrounds you. Should we start with TJ's story?
Yeah.
And quantify the level of stink that he encountered?
Yeah. I mean, there's originally, first thing I thought was I was in New York City for the premiere of Cloverfield. And
all right. You're at a four.
Yeah.
Just starting out.
Just starting out being in New York.
Okay.
Yeah. That's a four. And I went down. You know how sometimes a smell will creep up on you?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like you think something's going on. I was in a subway station and I started to smell something and I didn't know if it was the subway or what. And it started to get more and more terrible. And it smelled like, you know, defecation and sadness and fear and loathing.
Yeah.
And I turn around and I felt really bad because I realized that I, the whole time a homeless guy had been against the wall, but he had blended in with what was behind him.
Mm-hmm.
So suddenly I realized that
they're the geckos of the city.
They're the urban gecko. And he had what appeared to be human feces on the front of his pants, which is interesting to me.
Refreshing, yeah.
Did he spin it around once, you know, it got dirty?
Right,
or
rotate.
Is that from somebody else?
Mm-hmm. Like that old band, Criss Cross.
Yeah, that's
where the kids used to wear their pants backwards.
Right, or did he wipe it?
He could have wiped in the front, but that, it was...
How close were you to him?
I realized he was standing right next to the MetroCard vending machine, so I was probably within 3 feet of him.
Time of year?
Yes, time of year.
It was recently. It was in the last week.
So it's a little bit cooler outside.
Cool. A little bit cooler.
I'm gonna give you a 21.
A 21 of hobo power?
Yeah.
Isn't 30 you have to vomit to exceed 30?
You know what? I'm lightening up on that because I realize people have different thresholds.
Yeah.
Some people might go to Cloverfield and vomit, whereas I wouldn't.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So I'm gonna go ahead and lift that restriction, but it helps to make your case. Rick?
Yes.
You're a fireman from Las Vegas?
Yes, sir.
All right, I'll sign you a hobo power number. Let's hear your story.
Well, my rookie year on the job, it was actually my second day on the job. We had it was in summertime. We had a string of about 2 months where the temperature was 113, 115 degrees every day.
Summertime in Vegas, yeah.
Oof. Yeah, nice. We get a call for odor investigation. They thought it was natural gas. And I work in an area as a battalion one downtown. It's the lesser desirable area of town to work in. It's really busy and pretty impoverished.
Mm-hmm.
We get to the apartments. It was kind of like townhouses. And
right.
we knew it was bad because there was already about an inch worth of house flies dead at the window sills.
Ooh, that's and, like, they do that in all the horror movies too, just piled up on the windowsill.
Yeah, it's pretty right. cool looking. The crew I was with started laughing because they knew what was going on already. It was my second day on the job. I really didn't have an idea what I was in for.
Mm-hmm.
So we have to force entry into the house, and as soon as we break the door open, I mean, it's just a wave of just filth.
And by the way, as low man on the totem poles, the rookie, you're the guy who's going to have to go in and clean up, right?
If I have to go in, we have to get a conclusive, you know, we have to get presumptive and a conclusive sign of death. And being the rookie, I had to go in and check for a pulse.
Ugh. And by the way, when you kick someone, you do that thing with your foot where you shake them? Dude, get up. If they don't move in the next 5 to 8 seconds, they're dead.
Conclusive sign.
Yeah, no reason to get a pulse.
I like, too, that you kick them. You won't even touch them.
Yeah.
Well, Adam Carolla checking for a pulse, just lightly kicking.
You don't kick them, but you do that thing with your foot where you shake.
Sure.
You know, it's like when you want to wake your dog up. You don't get down and say, wake up. You do that little thing with your foot. Come on, let's go.
So, John, you walk in, and do you see a person? You just smell something.
Well, we knew it was a dead body right off the bat. Their neighbors hadn't seen her for 5 days. She had 2 dogs living with her in the house. We could hear them; they were going crazy, running around.
Oh no!
The
dogs.
There was no power. I guess she was just leaving all her doors and windows open during the day and would close them at night.
Mm-hmm.
So she'd been in there. So would the dogs, unfortunately.
So no air conditioning.
No AC, the dog...
113 degrees outside in Vegas.
Just the smell of five days worth of dog urine and feces in the house in that heat.
You're making me hot, by the way. Keep going.
As soon as we pop the door open, my captain, the firefighter and engineer, all three of them take off running, gagging, and I'm just back there at the door holding my breath.
Right.
You couldn't get in the house. It was so horrible, the stench of just, you know, roadkill.
By the way, I would not fault you for 1 second if you just torched a place at that point. If you just lit a road flare, rolled it in there, and just walked back to the fire truck and said, somebody call the insurance claims adjuster.
Yeah,
place.
Dog urine is very flammable, too.
Yeah.
He's a rookie, so he's got to go in there and find her.
So now you go in, and do you see her by the front door, or is she in a back bedroom somewhere?
Well, she's in the back bedroom, and every time I try to go in the house, I run out. I'm holding my breath trying to get in, and I have to turn around and run out.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And all the guys are outside laughing. I'm gagging at the door.
Hey, Rick, I don't want to tell you how you do your job, but could you go ahead and rock that oxygen tank at this point? Because I would.
Well, being a new guy, I would, you know, you're afraid to ask, and they're not going to volunteer it.
Sure.
So, you know, I make it to, I threw up twice getting to the back bedroom.
Nice. All right. Hey, listen.
And Adam, I don't know if you
know Rick, this. By the way, you're at 33 already. We haven't even discovered the body.
Well, nobody dies with their clothes on. I don't know why.
Yeah, why is that?
Dies,
there's some sort of fairy that rips your sweatpants off and possibly sodomizes you before you go to heaven. I don't know why. Heath Ledger's nude. Marilyn Monroe's nude. Everyone's nude. I don't, it's like the airplanes that flew into the towers. Were all those people naked in the plane? Like, how does it work where everyone is just nude all the time? I think we have to discover you. If you die in a car crash, there's probably only a 50-50 chance you're nude. But if they find you at your apartment, but how does that work?
Like, I know that when I'm recklessly driving, I'm always in
pants
the nude.
Down.
Yeah, pants.
Right.
Get
but
the pants saying, off. Like, drive fast.
It's a good point that Rick brings up, which is I don't walk through the front door every morning at noon and go, honey, I'm home, and just rip my clothes off and just go about my day in the nude at that point in case I die. Like,
maybe when you know you're about to shuffle off your mortal coils, you also want to take your clothes off.
Because, yeah, because you're like, I don't want to go to hell in a hoodie.
Oh, no one wants that.
That sounds like a curse.
Hell in a hoodie.
You go to hell in a hoodie.
Yeah, it sounds like a
all right,
horror
so,
movie.
So, Rick, now you go into the apartment, and the elderly woman is nude.
Yeah, and she's a really large woman. She had to use a rascal to get around in her house. You know?
What is a rascal?
That's
a
her
little
nephew.
Motorized scooter.
That's a Traeger fat ass. Around. That's one of those little, scooters. And when you're using the indoor rascal, I mean, it's one thing if you're going to Costco and you want to fill the basket up with, whatever you're picking up over there. That's when you jump in the rascal. But if you're going around your 800-square-foot, one-bedroom apartment in a golf cart.
In the nude.
Yeah, that either means you're really poor or super rich,
well,
actually.
Well, now he's still got to take her pulse to prove she's dead.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, when the body dies, it begins to swell, and the skin has an elastic limit. And once it reaches that limit, it'll just split. So she had already begun to split.
I am never going to get tired of this.
And I've seen enough movies to know that fully half the people you reach down and check if they're dead grab your wrist really hard, and their eyes pop open. So her skin is splitting.
Yeah.
She's morbidly obese.
I get around to the side, and unfortunately, she'd expired and fell forward, like, out of the chair. Mm. So she's kind of in the doggy-style position.
Oh, no.
And,
and nude.
Yes.
Why do you need to check for a pulse? Her skin is splitting.
This
do you
is
think
why,
she's just sleeping?
This is
she's
why,
just napping and splitting. That's all.
This is why they have pellet
nude
guns.
Well, by the time when I got around to...
that's some nap, though.
To see the face. And, like, dogs will routinely, when they're locked up with a food supply with the body, they start feeding on the face. I don't know if it's
you have worked your way up into
the
mid-40s.
This is the greatest hobo power call ever.
Yeah.
I just threw up
nothing,
in my mouth.
Nothing can top this.
Yeah, as soon as I saw that, I was done. I mean, I couldn't. I wound up never getting a pulse. I went outside. The guys are all laughing. They tell me to throw in the air
sure,
pack,
good
go
time.
Back in, check the house, make sure no one else was in the house. We turn it over to the coroner. And then we get back to the station. The only part of my uniform I kept were my boots.
Now, who else has got some story?
By the way, as far as the coroner works, what do they do?
Yeah.
I mean, they show up with like a snow shovel and a, hand cart or pallet jack. Like, what does that poor son of a bitch have to do?
And her
it's funny you should ask, because the coroner will show up, he pronounces them dead, and then he has these two henchmen. They're usually pretty large guys, and they have on button-up shirts, a tie, slacks, and rubber gloves, and the latex gloves, and that's all they use.
Oh, my God. I would travel inside of, like, the space lab.
Now,
I would be like John Travolta from a 70s
not
TV
to make
movie.
This closer,
I would be in a habit trail.
But we know her face had been eaten away by her starving dogs.
Yeah.
Had any maggots infested her rotting body?
Not to make this grosser. I like that prefacing the story. Not to make this grosser, but was there maggots eating the face?
I have to get a full picture.
There were, the house was such a wreck from the dogs running all over the place. She had, I couldn't tell if it was from her, them feeding on her in different places other than the face, or because they were covered in her bodily fluid. They'd been rolling all
Goodbye.
Around.
The
her.
Dogs.
Yeah.
So Rick was like, just enough time for a quick bowl of ramen, and then it's right out to the truck to report to the guys.
Did you stop and eat it all, or look around?
No, we went back to the station. The guys let me hose down with the scalding hot water in the showers.
Nice to talk to you.
So, Rick, you vomited two times.
I vomited twice.
Okay. I'm going to give him a 56 on this. I mean, that is...
He had to throw away everything he was wearing.
That is solid. That is rock solid. Hey, I think we need to take a break. TJ, you want to hang out?
Yeah, definitely.
You got anywhere to be?
No. Nowhere.
Irvine at 8 o'clock.
Irvine.
TJ Miller is going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight. Tickets available at Irvine, or I should say improv.com. Of course, one of the stars of Cloverfield, HUD, from the movie The Cameraman. Let's take a break because we have a lot of good questions or comments here for Hobo Power. We'll keep the Hobo Power party train rolling next.
Now and again, we like to break down the game film of PBS's Huell Hauser, but sometimes there's just not enough time for all the clips. So here's another one of Huell's Jewels.
And these are all our bunny slippers.
Oh, bunny slippers.
Yeah, bunny slippers.
Oh. Ah.
Thanks, Huell. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
I'm sad to admit that I went to the Bunny Museum, which is a dilapidated 1,200-square-foot house in Glendale. As I've said, TJ Miller in studio, one of the greatest hot dog skiers of the 70s.
And also in the movie Cloverfield.
That's right.
If I can come away from this with a reputation as a hot dog skier, then I think we've been successful.
I could just see TJ. Couldn't you see it from the 70s? TJ Miller presents Fire and Ice.
Yeah.
And it's like a bunch of slow motion, grainy 70s stuff of you doing crazy stuff on the slopes.
Spread eagle.
That's
coming off of a
double Daffy or whatever you do.
Before the unfortunate injury.
That's right. TJ Miller going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight.
8 p.m.
Where was we? Yeah, I was at the Bunny Museum with that crazy lady who collects bunnies. And again, when I'm in charge, a museum is going to have to be a museum. You can't call your crappy one-bedroom apartment in Westwood the Charlie's Angels Museum because you're gay and have a couple of lunch pails hanging around. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I went to that one, too. I went to the Charlie's Angels. It's one gay guy who lives on the west side, and I had to stand in his bedroom and look at a cardboard cutout of the Charlie's Angels in a lunch pail. You should have to. I don't know what the rule is. You need a parking lot? In business hours and some sort of rope with a couple of clips on the end of it that stops people from going to certain places.
Maybe a store?
I went to the Burt Reynolds Museum in Florida.
You did?
It's in Juneau. And it was exactly what you're saying. You got there and it was kind of like, is this a house or a museum? And you get in and it just looks like someone's house that was like, do I have a house or should I make a Burt Reynolds museum? Probably make more money with the other one.
All first time homeowners go through that dilemma.
Yeah.
House? I remember when I bought my first house.
Yeah.
Burt Reynolds Museum? Can we get to Smoking the Bandit Trans Am up here?
What was the most impressive item at the Burt Reynolds Museum?
I mean, there was so many. How could you possibly ask me to choose which one? I think, they had weird stuff. They had hair from his mustache, I think. I mean,
what?
By the way, pubes from the crazy owner.
Right.
That was fashioned into Bert's mustache, believe you me.
Fashioned in. It was kind of weird that it was attached right to the groin of the owner. The mustache is right here. This is where we keep it. Directly above my...
Yeah. Speaking of the mouthpiece. Uh-oh, Bert's got a sneeze. Look out.
Oh.
All right. Now, we're talking about hobo power. I don't know how we're going to outdo our last one, but we'll try. Steve?
Yeah.
Tell us your hobo power story.
I was 15. My first job is a summer gig in Redondo Beach, and I was working at a storage unit. And my job was to clean out the storage units when the tenants didn't pay. And there was this short, shifty, kind of hairy little Armenian guy that would kind of come in and out of his storage unit. He had this place for years.
No!
Eventually, he didn't pay his bill, so I got sent in to kind of clean it out.
No!
And he had coffee cans. He was kind of like semi-living in there.
Mm-hmm.
So he had coffee cans of poop and pee and just
keep
bodily
in the storage unit, yeah.
In the storage unit along with, like...
for a rainy day.
Yes. You never know.
You never know where you're going to need a coffee can of poop.
I'm going to give it a 21 just because I'm feeling generous.
All right.
But let me say this. When I'm in charge, I'm not going to go after crime. I'm going to have crime come to me. I'm going to nip it in the bud. The first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to deputize everyone who works at a storage unit rental place, and half the people that come through there I'm going to arrest because they're up to no good. I don't know what it is about people that utilize those storage units places, but they're up to no good.
If you sign up for a storage unit, they should first see if there are any warrants out.
Absolutely. I'm going to run a background check on everyone that wants
to. You need a background check
I don't
to get
trust
a gun
you.
Or a storage unit.
No,
now,
yeah.
Maybe you just got divorced and moved into an apartment and you need some space for your junk. That's 10%.
Once in a while, Paris Hilton needs a place for her Valtrex.
The rest of you are using pitchforks to pile hookers' corpses. And you know the other thing I'm going to do?
What?
Once a month, right at the Coliseum, right here in downtown L.A., I'm going to put on a big event that I call Free Raiders Tickets and Cockfighting. And anyone who shows up is getting
taken
arrested down.
Tackled and taken somewhere.
Yeah. Deported. What percentage of those people don't have felony warrants out for them right now? You know what I'm saying? Let's be proactive.
Yeah.
Let's go after crime.
Where are you from? Do you understand the Raiders fan thing?
I'm from Denver, but okay. I do understand it. And I really understand cockfighting.
Right.
So.
Yes. Being from Denver.
It's a big part of our culture.
It's your greatest export.
In Denver. It's cockfights. We actually export to cockfighting.
John Elway and cockfighting, I think, are the two things
right.
I think about when I think
yeah.
Denver.
I think Denver.
Orange Crush, the guy, the nude guy in the barrel.
Yeah.
Who, by the way, retired. The Denver fan.
Yeah, that's right.
The barrel man. He retired. By the way, you don't need to hang up a barrel until a couple of years after you die. There's no need to, like, hey, man, I'm just not up to walking around in a barrel anymore. How do you outgrow that gig?
He just dies in the barrel, you know? And they
if
roll
he really
him away.
Believed
they roll
in what he was doing,
his,
he yeah. would die in the barrel.
He would do interviews, and everybody would always, like, their ace in the whole interview question was, like, and are you wearing anything under there? I'm kidding. I know you are, but I did want to ask. And, like, it was so irritating. And you could tell he's heard it a million times, but he would sort of just go, yeah, I wear underwear and a...
I would like to befriend the barrel Denver fan guy just to use as a sort of negative example when my wife started getting on me. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
You know what, Adam? You're going to spend all your time in the garage futzing around. Hey, barrel man, come here. Yeah. See the guy in the boots and 10-gallon hat who's wearing the pickle barrel that's painted bright
Adam,
orange?
You just wasted
you
4 hours
married?
On
guy,
eBay.
Oh, no, all right, so I'm on eBay.
Yeah, looking at cars to
all
buy
right,
all day.
So I'm looking at a little porn out of Germany for a few hours a night. Barrel man thinks it's a good idea to get dressed in nothing but a barrel and cowboy boots and head to a game every Sunday for the rest of your life.
You're
all
not
right?
So bad.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. Where were we? Kyle. Let's see. Kyle?
Hey, Doug.
What's going on, Kyle?
I remember when I was young, I must have been 14 or 15,
mm-hmm.
Spent a bit of time fishing.
Back in Indiana?
No, New Zealand.
Mm-hmm.
Weird.
All right.
Teresa, I met you at the end of the year thing, you remember?
Mm-hmm. I mean, uh-huh. What?
Huh?
You met Teresa?
Yeah, end of the year gig last year. The New Zealand
just say
guy.
Yes so we can move forward.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
I've been fishing. I used to go out and dig some big fat worms out of the garden. And one day I was in a hurry to get home. I just threw my bag in the corner and I forgot that I'd put these worms in a little chicken stock container or something. It was only a little 3 or 4 ounce container.
Mm-hmm.
And I left them there in a couple of months. Must have been 2 months later. Went to go fishing and I grabbed my fishing bag and I saw the container. And I took
she had
the lid
a sealed
off.
Container of worms.
A sealed container of,
mm-hmm.
Fishing bait worms.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And you opened that.
I opened that, and I could smell it was a bad odor. And, you know, you can't help yourself but put your nose right up to that thing and smell.
I think you could, but did you throw up, Kyle?
Yeah.
Oh, you threw up?
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to give you a 27 on that one because of the vomit. He was hanging, you know, in the high teens, but if you puke, I'll tack 10 on. Why not?
I remember you now, Kyle. You were at the show in Deep Orange County, right?
And he had a can of worms with him, I think.
That's how I remembered, the worm thing.
Kevin, by the way, puked on a dead possum under a porch. I think we have a new leader in the clubhouse for Definitely Not a Jew.
Yeah.
Definitely not a Jew.
Jews never puked on a possum under a porch.
Also, first name Kevin. Not big with our people.
All right. Let's quickly talk to him. Kevin?
Hey, Adam.
I'm sorry for stealing your thunder, but you puked on a possum. Did you really physically puke on the possum?
Well, what happened was we were at my friend's house, and it was right after he graduated high school, so we were all drinking at his house, and his mom makes these pretty mean egg rolls, and she made a lot of them, and he had a little bit too much to drink, so he threw up, and it went through, like, the deck. It was, like, a wood deck.
Mm-hmm.
So pretty much, you know, we were back there about a day later, and, you know, we just smelled this thing. It smelled like puke, you know, because we already hosed it off.
Right.
And, you know, so, and, you know, I got the push broom, kind of moved it all off. But the day after, we just smelled this. You know, we went outside and smelled it, and we were like, what? It, you know, it was terrible. So I'm, you know, I was kind of the smallest one in the group, and my friend's Filipino, and his parents are kind of, you know, straight off the boat.
By the way, you know you're small when you have a Filipino friend, and you're the smallest one.
Yeah, yeah.
You're like lawn jockey size.
Yeah.
Because for me, I only hang around the Filipino guy, so I have a small guy who can go rooting under a porch if I smell a possum.
Sure, yeah. You've learned Tagalog. I mean, you're committed.
That's right.
To this.
Flashlight in your mouth. 44 yeah. By your side. Hit that cave, just like we did at NAMM.
All right, Berkham. Mm-hmm. But anyway, so I crawl under there. The kid's dad says, hey, Kevin, you know, go crawl under. So I think, you know, because we knew right away it couldn't have just been puked. So I'm crawling under there. It's daytime, so I don't have a flashlight, and I see a possum.
A live possum?
I didn't know at first. It was just, you know, it had the red eyes. It was just white, you know, big.
People don't realize, like, people don't give possums credit for being giant rats.
No. Yeah.
They're like,
and they're scary.
They're
20
pound rats that have tails that can open pickle jars. I mean, they're scary. You tell that to J.J. Abrams. Next movie should be about a giant possum.
Possumra.
Possumra.
Yes.
Yeah, that's
Possumra.
Good. Because I'm telling you, a possum the size of an alley cat will scare the bejesus out of you. I don't know if it's the biggest rodent, but it's probably the scariest.
Yeah, the little tiny baby possums are adorable, but then they grow up.
They're good for snacking, but the big ones.
So Kevin finds that there is a possum under the porch.
All right, I'm already bored with Kevin.
Yeah.
Kevin?
I know.
I got to tell you, you know what the problem is the first guy we talked to, was it Rick, the fireman guy out of Vegas?
The bar is high.
John, yeah, you can't, what was his name? You can't follow that.
No, it's hard.
No, now I got some kid crawling under
possum,
a porch.
That, what does that do when a dog, if dog eaten face of a woman splitting?
Yeah
who's
no.
been infested by
it's
maggots.
It's not your fault, Kevin.
No,
yeah,
it's just, it's the
possum
order.
Thing is like smelling a bouquet of roses compared to that.
Speaking of stink, we're going to cut bait. We're moving forward. We have an outro? Oh, give it to us.
The smell of death around you.
Do we need
that? That was disgusting.
Did you vomit?
Yes, I did.
Keep your eyes and your nose open, and you can play.
It's creative.
Hobo power.
Yeah. You're just not going to do better than the 56 we got out of the gate with. Hey, TJ Miller.
Yes.
Good times.
Great times.
We'll be seeing you tonight at the Irvine Improv.
Yep, tickets. 8 o'clock. Buy your tickets. It's going to be a great show. I'm bringing an opener who's very, very funny.
They'll be available at improv.com. And who's next? Ah, Laura Silverman. Beautiful. Beautiful sister of Sarah Silverman. I don't know if she's Sarah's older sister or younger sister.
I don't know either. They look a lot alike, and Laura, very talented.
Yeah, very funny on the show.
Laura's, by the way, going to be on House tonight. And it's cool for her because as I spoke to her over at Jimmy's last week, one of her favorite shows, also on Sarah Silverman's show. And, well, we'll dig into her next.
To the Adam Carolla Show.
She's very attractive.
You know, being an attractive person is much more than what you look like.
Right.
Can you do me a favor? Can you call Dr. Weber and tell her that tonight's not going to work out for me?
You want me to call her?
Would you? Because otherwise she'll talk me into it, and I really don't want to, I don't think I could sit through another meal with this one.
Dr. Katz, are you asking me to break up with her for you?
Would you?
Yeah.
From the Sarah Silverman Program and Dr. Katz, Laura Silverman on the Adam Carolla Show.
And tonight, House. T is absolutely giddy.
And this episode looks especially good.
Oh, really? I've seen so little of it. It doesn't seem like it's been promoted a lot.
At the end of the big post-Super Bowl house, they promoted by saying, a bride collapses at her wedding.
Oh, how did I miss
Plus,
that?
You told everyone at Kimmel's house 9 times on Sunday, so
no, I
feel
I didn't.
Like that was enough that was promotion.
That was my sister.
Hey, did you see...
I was the one cowering in the corner.
You were there, right? You were at Kimmel's. I was drunk, and I started drinking. I was airport.
I noticed because you actually said hello and goodbye to me, which is unusual.
Now, usually, does he ignore you?
Normally.
I understand it now.
Why?
I didn't used to.
What?
Well, because I used to just think that you never remembered who I was or that you somehow didn't like me, which seems impossible.
No,
perfectly
you know,
not.
You really are.
But then I realized that Adam just he didn't learn how to say hello to
right.
people that he knows.
Right.
He didn't, it's just.
Or bye.
Or goodbye.
Yeah.
It's not something that occurs to him.
Well, there was
which is
personally.
Fine. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, once somebody explains it to you.
Yeah. Well, because there's a guy on our show who's like that, Brian Posehn.
Oh, really?
So
yeah.
For years I thought, why does Brian hate me? And then I started working with him and I realized he doesn't hate me at all. And, you know, and I see him in the morning and I say, hello, Brian, say hello to people you know. And he's like, I never learned how.
I'm horrible with people's names. And one of Jimmy's best buddies, Cleto, has a girlfriend name or fiance or I guess a wife now.
Wife.
Yeah, I was kidding my wife. Cleto's recently divorced from a woman. Her name is Lori.
Yes.
And I was always scared to call her Laura.
Right.
And I was always scared to call you Lori.
Right.
And I was going to flip-flop.
Because I would have been very angry.
Yeah, but I was insecure about it, and you two would oftentimes be there. So I'd give you both the what's up, but I was scared to use the name. Did you see Steve Wozniak over there?
Yes, I did.
Did you see him handing out $2 bills on a placemat?
Yeah, I know the whole story
what
with that.
What was that?
That is, he prints his own money. And he insists that it is legal tender. It is actually. I mean, if you believe him, he said it's been inspected. It's passed. The Secret Security has approved it 3 times, which I don't know how he's running into Secret Security or where.
Right.
And why he's pulling out his sheets of $2 bills.
And what that has
They're
to do with the Giants
though,
line getting
problem.
To Brady and forcing them into third and long situations.
Here's the thing, Adam. I finally got to the bottom of the, you know, because it seems like, oh, you're printing money. Well, you know, you'll be rich. It costs him $3 for each $2 bill.
Oh, really?
So he's losing money printing his own money, but he's so excited by the fact that he can print his old money and it's legal tender.
So the sheet with the 8 $2 bills he gave to me that I wiped myself with before I passed out.
That's real money.
I got to get back to Kimmel's and get that and my sunglasses, by the way.
Out of the Porta Potty.
But you know you're rich when you can spend $3 making $2.
Yes.
And just for the thrill of it, because it's real money.
But you know how he makes it. Volume.
Right. That's how he loses even more money.
And he gives it away.
I'm just trying to think. Like, you tell me the over-under. When you go to somebody's house wearing sunglasses because it's light outside, and then you proceed to get blasted and take the sunglasses off because it gets dark outside, what are the chances those sunglasses are going back with you at night?
No.
You know what I'm saying? Close
if you're
to?
If you're a woman, pretty good, because you'll throw them in your purse.
Ah, the purse.
Right.
Mm. So, anyway, Laura, I'm sorry we got off to a shaky start, but I do feel...
We did?
We didn't say hi to each other for the first few...
I thought you meant today.
Oh, no.
I thought it was going well.
No, this is going exceedingly well.
Okay.
I mean, you and I on a personal level.
No, it really... I never really took it very personally.
Okay. But
I've always adored you.
You have to understand, you guys are intimidating, you Silvermans, because you're so beautiful and you're so skinny and you're so smart. I mean, talk about a great... hand dealt genetically.
Wow. If I'm not mistaken, do you and Sarah have another sister who's a rabbi?
We do.
Crickets. Yes, we do.
They're all smart.
She is. She's very smart. She's also very funny and, you know, sarcastic and dirty.
And she adopts a lot of kids?
She's adopted 2 kids. She has a total of 5. 3 of them came out of her vagina.
What does... Now, that one after the other or sideways?
Yeah.
I saw one come out, and I know it was head first, and it was shocking.
And Laura...
And that was enough for me.
Do you have yourself a man? Did you bring along to Kimmel's?
Wozniak?
I was there with someone, but...
You were?
Yeah, did you...
I didn't say hi to anybody. Who else was there?
I was actually concerned that Adam was going to take heed of that and ask me about it. So now that I've, you know, open that door myself.
Who were you there with?
I was there with a guy that I guess I'm not dating, so let's just skip it.
Just a friend?
Was it someone we'd know?
Yeah.
Why do I do this to myself? Is he a comedian?
It's no one. I made him up. Did you see me kissing the air?
Now what is going on? Now you're Sarah's older sister.
I am.
Couldn't tell who was older and who was younger. You both
look
spectacular.
I'm older, but I look younger.
Yeah.
So I tell people.
You listening, right. baby?
So I tell people.
And by the way, Matt is on hold, and he's willing to pledge his love for you, Matt.
Oh.
Oh yeah. Oh God! Like since I saw her on the first time I watched the Sarah Silverman show, I'm like, oh, who's that other girl that's playing her sister? And then it turned out to be your sister. And
that's a good story.
I think you're hotter than Sarah.
Thank you. Why did I just insult you?
Yeah, I know. That's not easy to do.
That's why I'm still single.
Yeah, I'm sorry. When I talk to beautiful women, I just have like that whole flustered kind of thing.
No, you're doing great.
Oh, Matt, she's single. Is there anything you want to say to her?
Oh, well. Let's see. No, I just wanted to say, I mean, I love, like, the whole beautiful, intelligent, funny sort of thing. It's so hard to find out here.
Thank you so much.
Matt, Laura Silverman was telling me off the air that she loves guys who love Russian literature and hate themselves. Is that you?
Well, I have read War and Peace.
Mm-hmm. Oh. All right, it's a nice step in the right direction. hey, Matt, what do you do for a living?
I am an insurance inspector.
Ooh, talk about life in the fast lane.
Yeah.
Guy's probably got one of those miniature flashlights he wears on his belt. Do you have the mini mag light, Matt?
Yes.
All right. I'm putting you on hold. Hey, Laura?
Yeah.
Speaking of guys, what did you think of Kimmel, be honest, when your sister first started dating him?
Oh, I thought it was great. I've always loved Jimmy. Always.
Really?
Like,
Jackass from the Man Show or something like that?
No. I feel like I discovered Jimmy into, like, the Silverman lives because...
You did? What happened?
When I used to watch Win Ben Stein's Money, and I used to say to Sarah all the time, like, you've got to see this guy, Jimmy Kimmel. He is so funny and so great on the show. He's so cute. Like, I almost had a crush on him, if that sounds, you know, I don't...
Almost?
He was good on that show. I mean, like, because just from watching him on the show, like, I don't... Right. There's no...
Mm-hmm.
Not for real, like...
Right. You fell in love, like, TV love.
Yeah, I had, like, this TV crush on this kid, Jimmy Kimmel, that I'd never heard of before, and I was always talking about, you know...
Right.
And then I met you guys, you know, some Comedy Central parties and stuff like that.
Did I say hi?
No. And, and
look, everyone's on a 5-year probation period.
You know, Adam, it was actually, we shook hands and you looked past my right ear,
years.
Which was very intimate.
I looked past your ear.
Yes.
Yeah, I'm uncomfortable with eye contact, too.
No, you're doing great with it. Look.
Yeah, look at
right
those
now.
Beautiful,
oh
piercing
God.
Blue
you know,
eyes.
You have beautiful eyes, too, Adam.
I feel like we could have had something.
I feel like we could
have. Would that have been weird if the Silverman sisters were with the Man Show guys?
I know. Well, see, Adam, I hate to go there because he has a really awesome wife.
I love Lynette.
Beautiful kid.
That is his better
She's
half.
A five, but...
Just
oh, come
as
on.
A, you know, it could have... I don't know.
Yeah, and then, of course, you know, just from...
It would have been cute.
It would have been cute, and then we would have had kids who would have probably been great at improv.
Yeah.
It would have been awesome.
Their aunt would have been a rabbi.
Which would have made them frustrated working at the post office for 135 years. But either way, they'd have the ability to do a good who, what, and where.
So you discovered him, you feel.
I feel like I discovered Jimmy, and then,
Did you talk to Sarah about Jimmy? Did you talk him up?
Well, I did. I had, way back then, I had mentioned him several times, you know, mm-hmm. saying, you got to watch this show. This guy is really funny.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, and
she
then
feels somewhat
years went
responsible.
By.
And
I
what
actually,
about, well, can I ask you this then? Not to get too personal, but do the Silverman sisters want to have kids? We have the third sister that's a rabbi that has a bunch of kids.
Five kids.
What about yourself and what about your sister? I know you can't speak for her, but it seems like you guys are getting to that age.
Speak for Adam. Really?
Well,
he means 29.
Yes, I mean theoretically.
No, you are absolutely right, and you know, Sarah in the past, I think, you know, has sort of wanted to have kids, but, you know, she, you have to adjust for, you know, what life brings you. And she loves Jimmy and she wants to be with Jimmy. He has kids already. And I think she doesn't really see any, it necessary for those kids to have to deal with, you know.
What about yourself? If you met the right guy.
If I met the right guy, I think the way I really feel is that I would like to adopt. And I think I would like to adopt older kids, perhaps siblings, you know, kids that were hard to place. Because I feel like I don't feel a tremendous need to, like, make a little me.
Yeah.
With all my problems.
Well, be half me. Wouldn't be all you.
Well, no.
I mean, you know. Just this, I know. But, you know, I'm just going along in my sort of hypothetical world.
Do you realize, though, Adam, that you are extremely handsome?
Whoa. Sweetie, I'm not coming home.
It's a good story.
Really?
You really are, though. I'm saying it not to come on to you. I'm saying it because I get the sense that you don't realize it.
Well, you know, the thing about, well, it's interesting. Okay. As a guy, your looks, I do believe, are sort of between not really relevant and neither here nor there for 99% of guys. Like, I'll give you an example. I'm not saying I'm a great looking guy. I've worked construction with great looking guys. There's no such thing as that in the female world. And what I'm saying is, I've worked construction with 23-year-old blonde guys that were Adonises and be like, hey, Jake, how about you empty the garbage and how about you run this time or I will kick your ass. And that guy's running around. Now, in the female world, that person becomes a cocktail waitress and makes a couple $100 a night in tips or a bartender at some trendy whatever or even a receptionist or something. And ends up doing something where their looks have something to do with it.
Right. Like it's only on TV is the gorgeous girl, you know, like.
You're not going to go.
A chambermaid.
Yeah, you're not going to go into a restaurant, go behind to the kitchen, and see some hot-looking chick bussing dishes. You're just not going to do it unless it's the movie Waitress, Teresa's favorite movie.
How dare you?
You're just not going to see that. Now, in the male world, that exists all the time. There's like really good-looking guys that are like firemen and cops construction workers. And it happens once in a while where you'll see some guy, he's 6'4", and he's really good-looking, and he's just got some schmaltzy, crappy job, and you're thinking, what are you doing this? And then you go, oh, yeah, you're a dude. Yeah, this is what happens. So as a guy, whatever you look like doesn't really factor in.
Sure, our lives are completely shaped by how we look from a very early age.
That's right.
Would you agree?
I would agree.
Hence the eating disorder, T. We'll take a quick break.
That's a good story.
Thank you for that compliment, by the way, Laura Silverman.
You're welcome.
We'll take ourselves a quick break. When we come back, and Laura's going to be on House tonight, also the Sarah Silverman program as well, now that the writer's strike may
looks like
be
it's
coming
ending.
To an end. Yeah. Do you know anything, Laura, about that?
Nobody knows anything, but I think it's going to be over soon. They say it's going to be over soon. Yeah.
They say soon. Anyway, that will then be back. But the good news is we're going to do some gay walking. Mm. Now, we're going to do some reverse gay walking. Now, how does that work? Well, pre-op, board op Bill went to the Super Bowl with a super rich dad and interviewed Tiki Barber. And I think he asked Tiki Barber gay questions. Oh. And we decided if a straight guy could answer gay questions. Do we have a tease,
yes,
Brian?
We do.
Who is Liza Minnelli's mother?
Does Tiki Barber
Does
know?
Does Tiki Barber know? Laura Silverman, you are going to play with us.
Oh, good.
Bald Brian, you are out on your scalp, my brother.
Oh, I just don't want to lose again.
How do I play?
All right, a-hole. You hang out. We'll bet. We'll tell you how to do it. Okay. And we'll do it next.
Back to the Adam Carolla Show. Usually we send pre-op board op Bill out to West Hollywood to ask gay people questions that straight people know the answers to. This time, Bill was at the Super Bowl and sat down with Tiki Barber to ask the former Giant questions that all gay people should know the answers to. It's reverse gay walking right now on the Adam Carolla Show.
Laura Silverman, the smartest of the Silverman sisters.
Why, thank
you. She paid me that compliment. In studio house tonight.
She's the star. She's the patient on tonight's episode.
Mm-hmm.
I cannot wait for this.
Yeah, I'm a little scared.
Why are you scared?
Well, you know, it's my first drama, and I've really been trying to do drama since I started acting. It means a lot to me. It doesn't mean a lot to anyone else in the world. So if it's good or bad, you know, it's just gonna kind of blip by. But, yeah, it's a little scary.
How was Hugh Laurie?
He was amazing. He was awesome. Really cool. Like, he's really humble, and he's, you know, he talks to you and asks you, like, well, what do you think of this, you know?
I like him because he suffers from depression.
Yeah.
Makes me like anyone.
I like that, too. Yeah.
He really, like, he makes eye contact with you, and he's just...
What would that be like?
Oh, I'm sorry.
Was your foot talking to you? I didn't hear you.
I wasn't trying to harp on that. I really, that was...
You know, I wouldn't want to be in an episode tonight with Hugh Laurie and Laura Silverman. You know how big my head would look in between those two? Be like two starfish and my huge or angel fish
They would assume during their differential diagnosis that your large head was actually a symptom.
Yes.
Yeah, my brain was swollen or something.
I'm very self-conscious about my small head.
It's very angular and very sharp. You should be proud of it. And Hugh has also an angular face. Thus, an average-sized person would look like a big balloon head. I'd look like Jerry Lewis on medication.
Look at the size of that boy's head.
I'd be wearing like a tux with the tie undone and checking the tote board.
That's a huge noggin.
Laura Silverman in studio. Laura also has, of course, her beautiful sister Sarah's show, the Sarah Silverman program as well. And lots of people remember you from Dr. Katz, and I miss Dr. Katz.
Yeah,
Do they syndicate it? Is it on
Nothing.
DVD? Like, where is
it's
it?
It's on DVD. You can buy the complete series on DVD. It's still, like... It has a lot of fans. It's still popular. It's really strange, but it seems like for some reason Comedy Central, like they canceled it mid-season, and it seems like they've I don't know what the show did to it. But you know, no reruns, no, like, they're just nothing. So.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind.
Sorry with me.
I know, for the love of Christ, like you turn on Comedy Central 4 in the morning and watch Lost and Found, the David Spade vehicle, for the 33rd time that month. How about you toss a little Dr. Katz? And by the way,
it's not like I would get paid for it if they did, so I couldn't care less.
It's huge in the Arab world.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, but really, like, all over the world, I get, like, email, like, fan mail from people in all kinds of countries still, and it shocks me.
That's Sarah trying to build your self-esteem.
Yeah. Yeah, the letters she used to send me from Santa aren't cutting it anymore.
Is it tough being the sister of one of the funniest, most beautiful people on the planet? And if Sarah was here, I would ask her the same question.
Oh, nice save.
Yes.
Oh, is it tough?
I would say, Sarah, it's got to be tough being so beautiful and so smart. How does your sister, Laura? No, but I mean, I could see some sibling rivalry, some jealousy. That, you know,
you're in the same business?
You two work together so well?
You know, I mean,
you both love Jimmy Kimmel?
There are moments, but they're very fleeting, and they usually really have not much to do with, you know, they have more to do with, like, just your own thing at the moment and not each other. We really, I guess it's just because We kind of do the same thing in a way, but not really. Our personalities are so different. We don't really want the same things career-wise.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we're just so different from each other that it doesn't really factor in.
Did you compete as youngsters for the
not
attention of your dad?
No, not at all.
Who did he like the best?
Probably me. Which is why I didn't have to compete.
Yeah, see, that's where
Sarah
comes in.
Sarah was always, you know, trying to do a tap dance.
Right.
And, you know, like,
dance
look
for
at
daddy.
Me, look at me, singing, belting out a tune.
I would have read the pony.
Me and my sister were the same way. We were like, well, I'm 13. I'm out of here. See ya. All right. I'll catch you in about 20 years.
Hell yeah.
Awesome.
I cannot get that effing Matt Damon song out of my head.
Yeah, it was great. I
watched it last night. Yeah.
It's so cool that he did it.
I know.
I really like that guy.
I know, and that's all it takes. You know, as far as celebrities go, we don't follow you around with a microscope. We don't know what you're up to all the time. You do one thing where you make fun of yourself and you seem really cool, and Matt Damon will always be cool, right?
Yeah.
And everyone who saw that video went, oh, what a cool guy. He's making fun of himself. He's a big star. He'd have to do a lot to undo that.
You forgave him for Ocean's 15.
Barely. All right. Laura.
Yeah.
You ready to play a little gay walk?
I am. I'm excited.
Should we gamble? Let's just play for ourselves here.
Okay.
Okay.
Let's get oh, Christ. All right, look, $20. I got to go get my wallet. T?
Yeah, I got it.
You do?
Yeah.
Now, do all you Jews wear that change belt, or is that just you?
I don't know. Laura, do you?
Do you sleep like a possum upside down like I do?
I thought the ice cream man was here.
Because that's how I sleep.
Well, that's the only way to keep the horns from tearing the pillow.
Yes, thank you. They tear the pillowcase.
All right, so Laura, you have a change belt as well?
I don't. Well, I to be
you left it in the
completely
car?
Honest, I don't. I think I have maybe $20 on me.
Okay.
Maybe. All right.
Well, I got 20.
I have
20.
Shekels, and that is not a lie.
Well, I actually do have
shekels on me.
Do you?
Yeah. Well, I just got back from Israel.
How about you?
How was it?
It was good.
I got 20 bucks right here.
How about we get Wozniak's fake $2 bills and we play for that?
I got $8 left for Laura.
I can, yeah. I can, if somebody wants to spot me, I can.
All right.
I'm good for
we'll
it.
Front
I'm on
you.
TV.
Who knows? You probably win. All right. Should we do some reverse gay walking?
Gay walking.
Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking, because you are gay. All right, Board Op Bill. Well, where is Board Op Bill? Is he still at the Super Bowl? Here's what people don't understand about Board Op Bill.
Hospice.
Board Op Bill probably makes $7 or $8 an hour working on the show. Yeah. Board Op Bill's biological father is filthy rich. I know he's rich because he has Bugattis and other crazy pre-World War II streamliner cars that are worth millions and millions of dollars. So a couple times a year, he meets his super poor son who lives out here and works on our show at the Super Bowl or at Pebble Beach for the car show and does this super rich guy stuff, which is weird because Bill lives a very unrich life all the rest of the time. And by the way, I know his dad is not a huge fan of his homosexuality because during National Coming Out Day, I said, Bill, we got to call your dad and you got to tell him you're gay. And he said, he knows I'm gay. And I said, well, call him and tell him you're gayer. Like when a breakfast cereal now has another scoop of raisins.
Yes.
You know, it's even fruitier.
There's always part room of the bun. For more.
Right. And he called.
Now 27% gayer.
And yeah. Bill, who's awesome, said, I'll call my dad. And he called his dad. And his dad's a rich white guy. And he said, Dad, I am now gayer than I ever was before. His dad was not pleased. I don't know a lot about guys, super rich guys who collect expensive cars, but they don't like their sons coming out as gayer to them. But either way, he went to the Super Bowl. He brought the microphone. He spoke to NFL great and ex-Giant. And by the way, what a year to retire. Was this Tiki's first year staying home or is his second?
This is first year of
retirement. First year. Smooth move, X-Lats.
Wow.
You're 31 years old. You're going to hang up the spikes.
He could have played another year.
He
wasn't injured or anything,
no,
right?
Tiki Barber, I think, played, I don't know, 9 years in the league, maybe 10 years in the league.
But very few of them as a starter. He wasn't started until a couple years in.
So he's low mileage and he's, you know, every guy who plays professional football gets dinged up. But he hasn't been injury prone. And Tiki is probably 31, 32 years of age, something like
right.
that. Easily could have played another 3 years in the league. One more year. I mean, there are guys on the team that are, you know, Strahan is older than Tiki Barber is.
And he's been playing for 19 years.
He's got a ring now that had to be weird, bittersweet for him to see the Giants win. And I've never even thought about that. He just retired. All right. I'll tell you what we should do. We should take a break. We should try to get back on time here. Laura, can you hang out?
Sure.
Laura Silverman in studio, house tonight, of course, the Sarah Silverman program. We'll take a break, and when we come back, gay walking, play the tease question one more time.
Who is Liza Minnelli's mother?
So it's like Tiki Barber living in New York.
Yeah.
Hip, not your general dumb jock.
I believe he was the valedictorian of his high school class.
But still a jock.
Right.
We'll take a quick break. Back to Gamble next.
Playboy Mansion.
Knight Rider.
For the NBC Knight Rider launch party. Go to 97.1freefm.com or adamcarolla.com and register to win tickets. Thanks to NBC. Knight Rider. Premiering on NBC February 17th, 9, 8 Central. Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
You guys are over the moon about Knight Rider, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, the Silvermans love Knight Rider. T, yeah. You grew up.
Oh, sure. Talking cars.
Is there a new Knight Rider?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, right. I think I saw an ad for it, and I was like, you know, I'll park myself or whatever.
Yeah, it's 2 hours. It's a movie event. It's the 17th on NBC. All right, Laura Silverman is in studio. House is the show she's on tonight. And by the way, what do you think you like better, Tea House or Knight Rider?
Well, it's tough because Knight Rider is one of our sponsors. And that's the only thing that makes it tough.
Mm-hmm. So what about if Hugh Laurie drove a car that was smarter than you?
Oof.
Be into it?
Yeah.
All right.
House is one of my favorite shows.
Mine too.
Laura Silverman is going to be starring. And I wanted to say this about you, Laura. You know, you're talking about being worried about being seen as a dramatic actress or wanting to be seen as a dramatic actress. Yeah. I see that in you.
Thank you, Adam.
You have an intense look about you.
Mm-hmm. That means a lot to me.
Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. And the fact that she was cast to be the lead, the patient on House, mm-hmm. obviously she can do it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Or
and
she
I
had
can cry
sex
on
with
cue.
Somebody.
You can?
Oh, you can?
Let's see.
I can sneeze on cue. You want to hear
it? Achoo!
Thank you. I want to thank my agent, Marv Schmeckelstein. All right.
I can yawn on cue.
Let's.
This is an Adam Carolla show.
What?
Definitely not a Jew. News alert.
Oh, no.
What happened?
What?
Chaos and crime hit a gas station in Massachusetts after police say a man wielding a machete slashed three people, leaving two of them with life-threatening injuries.
That was a Definitely Not a Jew news alert. We now return you to the Adam Carolla Show.
Wow.
Already in progress.
Well, breaking news. T, you ready to play? Laura, you ready to play?
Yep.
All right, let's do some reverse gay walking. I want to hear the intro again, Bald Brian, because I love
gay
it.
Gay walking.
Gay. Bill wants to know if you know all the things straight guys should know. You're homosexuals. It's time for gay walking, because you are gay.
Gay. All right, I have a crisp $20 bill, which is how much do you, T?
In my people's?
Yeah.
How much does that equal in meaning?
Mm-hmm.
What is that? I don't know. You usually
like
do
dog
the conversions.
Ears. I think it's about $140.
It's about $140.
All right,
now,
so that's a pretty good piece of change for you, T.
See, I didn't even know how that was.
Oh, you didn't know?
I'm really, really bad at being insulted for being Jewish because I don't know what a lot of it means.
You'd get a lot better at it.
I don't know what it's expected
here.
Of me. I don't know what I'm supposed to be offended by.
Hang out through the news.
Yeah.
I'll break in. Do you have 20?
Let's say I do.
Of course you don't, sweetie.
I'm good for it, Adam.
Oh, she's so fresh from her trip to the Holy Land that she actually has shekels.
I have shekels in my...
There was no ATM at the Wailing Wall?
Can we, can I wage some shekels? I got $20 worth of shekels.
Wailing Wall is an ATM.
It's a novelty item.
All right, bust out the shekels, T.
Did you put any wishes in the Wailing Wall when you write them down the piece
no,
of paper?
No, I didn't go there.
Oh, you didn't?
I'm not a tourist.
What'd you do over there?
My sister lives there with her five kids, so I go every year and I spend like 2-3 weeks and paint their house and, you know, do all the work that needs to be done.
Sounds like a kibbutz, right?
It's a kibbutz.
Interesting.
It is. It's very interesting.
I knew your sister was a rabbi, but I didn't know she was like super rabbi. I didn't know she
no,
picked
she's,
up.
No, she's really not. It's just, it really came down to like having five kids and being kind of poor and what are you going to do? You move to a kibbutz.
So how's your Hebrew?
How's mine?
Yeah.
My Hebrew is okay. I've sort of picked it up. The younger kids speak it fluently, which mm-hmm. is, it's really, really kind of cool to see.
How old are the kids?
The kids are 15, 13, 9, 6, and 5. Four.
All with full beards?
Oh, yes. Just the girls.
Oh, good times on the kibbutz. All right. Well, I'm going to go to Kimmel's and have a pizza. I'm going to miss the kibbutz next year. But let's play ourselves some gay walking. All right. Now, let's hear the first question.
Who is Liza Minnelli's mother?
Tough. One hand, tough. Smart. On the other hand, a jock. On the other hand, from New York. Do you know what I mean? I mean, how many Broadway shows he passes by on his way to Good Morning, whatever, every morning?
Right, Today Show.
Well, like, how much time does he have to think about
that's
it?
That's a good question.
Because that's really where I'm hung up.
Yeah. Even I take a minute to pull this answer.
Just a second. Like, I think he probably knows it, but at first he won't, so.
So you'll say.
I'll say he doesn't know.
Doesn't know.
What are you saying?
I'm going doesn't. On this one, because I had to pull this one up too, and I don't know if I could have done it in real time with a mic in my face.
I'm inclined to agree with you guys, but just for fun, I'll say he knows.
All right, cool. So two doesn't, one does. Does Tiki Barber know?
Who is Liza Minnelli's mother?
Miss Minnelli.
He didn't even say Mrs.
Yeah, he said jock first.
Damn.
And again, I forgot, was pointed out by intern Chris, that Tiki said that Eli couldn't lead the team and would never win a Super Bowl during the offseason this year. So not only does that idiot retire the year before, but the guy he made fun of is the Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah, and by the way, two second stringers, Smith and Boss, got a lot of time yesterday, right?
Absolutely.
I mean, Sunday. Oh, wait, I just remembered I do have cash.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, because somebody owed me money and gave it to me yesterday. All right, that's okay, because it's on. I'm loaded.
I feel like I might lose. I'm already down one.
Well,
I'm so 0-1 ready for
and we're
now.
1-0. Let's go to the next.
Eric McCormick and Deborah Messing play which two television characters?
Oh, Will and Grace. Why am I nauseated by that show?
Because it's nauseating.
Yeah. Should I be nauseated by Deborah Messing? Because she bothers me, and I can't figure out why.
You know, it's everything. I'm sorry.
Yes? She's like one of those chicks that your grandmother tries to convince you are beautiful all the time, but you're not interested. Yeah?
Or not?
No?
Or the other way around?
What do you think about this one, T?
I dated her husband's brother for about a year.
Oh, so you guys are like
family. Almost her sister-in-law.
Mm-hmm. Did you know her?
I met her a few times.
I am your father's brother's nephew. Cousin's former roommate.
How was she?
She was nice to me.
Mm-hmm.
She was nice to me.
Well, now I really don't trust her. All right, what do you think? Will and Grace.
What do you guys think?
You can't do that, T. You go first this time.
I think, I think he'll know.
You think he knows?
Yeah.
Laura, what do you think?
My first impulse was he knows, but then I think maybe he is not going to know the names of the actors.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to say no.
I'm going no, too. Great minds think alike. Two no's, another yes for Teresa. What is the answer?
Eric McCormick and Deborah Messing play which two television characters?
Will and Grace.
Oh!
Will and Grace.
Damn you. Oh, man, I was this close to using the N-word. Focus. Focus, Ace Man. You know, I get angry at this game. All right, so now we're all locked up, 1-1.
Refrain from using ethnic slurs.
Let's go to the next.
Who is the star of Funny Girl?
Again, tough. New Yorker. New Yorker. These are great questions.
Was he born, like, in 75, Tiki?
He's, yeah, probably 32 now. 31, 32, maybe 33 tops.
Hmm.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say no. Laura, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm going to go out on a limb, and I'm going to say yes.
You say yes, T?
I'll also say no.
Two no's, one yes. The answer is...
Who is the star of Funny Girl?
Funny Girl. Funny
star
girl.
Of the movie Funny Girl from the 60s.
No idea.
Big news. Lots of gays love her.
Going
that Miller?
He had two huge hints from
big
the 60s.
Nose, lots
and...
of Jews love her.
Did he really say big nose?
Oh, well, let's hear it again. I heard big nose.
It's a hate crime.
Who is the star of Funny Girl?
Funny Girl. Funny
star
girl.
Of the movie Funny Girl from the 60s.
No idea.
Big nose. Lots of gays love her.
Yeah.
Going
Bette Midler?
Big nose.
No. Big nose and lots of gays love her is all you need,
How
right?
How about great voice? By the way, that's one of those times that you're being insulted because we were supposed to tell you.
What? It's a good story.
All right. Look, Laura's not insulted. She's up 2-1. You are 1-2. The ace man is 2-1.
Being insulted?
No, just our people in general. It was a big nose thing.
Yeah, no. Actually, on my flight home from Israel, this Israeli woman, tap me. They'll just tap you on the head. They'll, And she said, "You look like Barbara Streisand." I was like, "Okay, shut your goddamn mouth."
I have gotten the exact same thing, and I'm thinking, I look nothing like. I have brown hair and brown eyes.
And Israeli of all people,
right?
Sometimes
they're rude. Sometimes they can.
I have a great story from the flight.
Please, let's hear it.
Well, because Israelis are, are kind of, you could say rude. It's a cultural thing. Yeah. You know, they're great. It's a cultural thing, whatever. Okay.
Right.
They're rude.
Other cultures don't know nuance like we know nuance.
Right.
They get up in your grill.
In a way, it's great because, you know, there's not all that like, sorry, sorry, sorry. Or,
right.
or that sort of when you walk into a store, like, hi, how can I help you?
Right.
You know, like they, you know, and that I like.
Well, when you're blowing up every 10 minutes, you don't have time for all
exactly.
the nuance.
Exactly. It's
you know?
Straight to the point. So,
right.
I actually, last year when I went to Israel, I flew there the day before Christmas. And a lot of Christians go to Israel for Christmas.
Right.
Because it's where
you go
Jesus
to Bethlehem.
The flight is landing and, you know, the requisite announcement comes on, you know, please remain in your seats with your seatbelts securely fastened until we arrive safely at the gate. And then the pilot came on the speaker and said, for those of you still in your seats, Merry Christmas. For those of you in the aisles getting your luggage, welcome home.
That does make sense. All right, so now, Plain Gay Walking, Laura Silverman on house tonight. We are up 2-1.
I think I'm 2-1, too.
T, you are 1-2.
1-2.
But crafty. Interesting yeah, how sure. you people do that with the words. All right, now.
That was another one.
Let's go to the next question.
Finish the name of this gay icon, blank Nelson Reilly.
Charles Nelson Reilly. The great Charles Nelson Reilly. T, I know you're going to want to wait because you're going to want to go strategic on this one, so I'm going to go first.
Okay.
I'm going to say does know.
I'm going to say does know just because it's, you know, he'll just know it by rote.
Yeah, I agree. It's a commonly known, used, popular culture.
But again, name. Let's not forget Charles was, you know, off TV by the time Tiki was in the seventh grade.
Yeah.
Just playing a little devil's advocate.
Yeah, no, there's a chance he won't know.
All right, so we all go knows.
Yeah.
All right. What's the answer?
Finish the name of this gay icon, blank Nelson Reilly. Blank Nelson Reilly. Steve?
Oh, my God.
What the hell's wrong with it? Oh, jeez, I almost said it again. And by the way, this is smartest guy in the NFL. You don't know anything.
Yeah.
All right, T, you are an abortion-like 1-3. We dropped down to 500, I believe, at 2-2. And now we go to... what I believe is the last question.
How many cuticles do you have?
Trick question.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, there's
20, right?
Yeah. It would be 20, but would 10 be an acceptable answer?
Well, we should decide on that right now. I'm going to say, I don't know, is 10 an acceptable answer?
Well, I think what we're really trying to find out is, can he identify a cuticle?
Mm-hmm.
And then once he does that, can he do the math?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, once if he does know what a cuticle is, you'd hope he'd guess 20.
Yeah, but you could spit out 10 if someone held a mic in front of you, couldn't
true.
You?
Yeah.
Are we going to accept 10 as an
I
answer?
I think we should because the point of it is that he knows what a cuticle is.
Mm-hmm.
And that would indicate that he does. Not
okay.
that it's like a trick question of like, what about your toes?
The rest of mundo.
Okay, so we're going to accept
right?
we're going to accept 10.
You're going to accept 10?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, T, you got to go the opposite of whatever we go.
Okay.
Do you not?
Well, there's some confusion as to the scoring.
Mike, are you screwing up over there?
There may be a little confusion, but...
Laura and I are one ahead of you. That's what I seem to remember. But I've been wrong before.
I think I screwed up her answer on Funny Girl. I'm not sure what
yeah,
she said.
I'm losing.
I said she would not know. He would not know Funny Girl, and he did not know it.
I only got one right.
Oh, you didn't?
Yeah,
oh, you
so
did?
He would not know, and he did not
now
know.
Now I'm all whacked out over here. I should go back and listen to the tape. So... are you saying that we're all
correct.
Tied up? You've gotten two correct.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
If T's not lying, we're all tied up.
He would not
it's a big
know.
If.
Oh, I thought you went against what Laura and I went for Funny Girl. Laura, you said
I said he
know.
Would know.
You said
I'm
he would
behind.
Know.
That's I only got
saying.
The first one right.
I
oh,
said
now
he would
I'm
not
screwed
know.
Up. Okay. All right. Well, then maybe I owe someone an apology.
Let's play some games.
So
right.
am I 2-2 and T's 2-2 and Laura's 1-3? Oh, I had these two mixed
right.
up.
Right. It's easy to do. I almost could be a Silverman.
I'm losing my shekels.
Yeah. Look, I just see one huge nostril. I can't tell the difference between you people. All right. And where's that secret compartment you guys have
again,
to keep your money?
Again, it took me a minute. Like, I'm so bad at being insulted.
You want to try another insult that's more direct and see how fast she gets it?
I'll tell you what I would like to do. I'm going to throw a nickel in the corner and see you two fight it out.
See, that's the thing. Like, when I was in fifth grade, these boys threw pennies at me, and I had to go home and ask my mother why.
I had the same experience.
I had no idea what it meant, and
after
she had to explain to me that I was supposed to pick them up because I was money grubbing.
Right.
And she used those words.
You grew up in Alabama? You grew up in Alabama in the 40s?
Well, in New Hampshire.
Jesus
Christ. Same thing happened to me. Coming home from, walking to the bus stop from ballet school, these kids threw nickels. Now, that was a nickel, not a penny, so I had to stop. See?
Teresa, please, don't.
I'm making our whole culture look bad.
Because they win.
All right.
They win.
Let's play on here. Now, all right, so, Laura.
Yes.
You're
going
to have to go the opposite of me and T. T?
Right. I think he does know what a cuticle is. He's probably had a manicure.
Okay.
I don't know if he's going to say 10 or 20, but we've decided either one is acceptable. I say he knows.
Cuticle.
Yeah.
I think he thinks it's a low-cal breakfast pop. I'm going to say no. So T and I both say no. Laura, you're just going to have to say don't know to see if you can get into this game. Let's hear the answer.
How many cuticles do you have, Tiki?
10. No, 20.
See, that is so unfair, because that's the one that I really felt confident on.
We're both right.
And I was forced to bet a certain
mathematically,
way.
Mathematically, you had to go against us.
Do you understand?
No, I don't.
It was your only chance, sweetie.
If it was my only chance, then why did I lose? If I had said yes as I wanted to, I wouldn't have lost. So how is it my only chance?
You would have lost. You may have won the battle, but you would have lost the war because the game's over and T and I both have three and you would have two wins. Now, we have to go to the tiebreaker. And this is why I normally don't gamble on how I know I'm generally unlucky, because every one of these tiebreakers comes down to a coin toss. I seem to get myself in a tiebreaker every single week and I lose. All right, let's hear the tiebreaker question for me and T. Yeah.
Who is gayer, Siegfried or Roy?
Siegfried.
I'm going to say Roy. Because that's the way I roll. Right back, I know it's Roy. Siegfried or Roy? I say Roy if Tiki Barber says Siegfried, you win.
Yeah.
If he says Roy, I win.
Yeah. Who is gayer, Siegfried or Roy?
Roy.
Yes! Come to
Did
Papa.
Did he say Royd?
Doesn't matter. I got the money.
A little like Roy.
Sarah?
How dare
you have that secret compartment that you Jews have where you keep your 20s?
Well, did you just call me Sarah?
Oh, did I call you Sarah?
I don't think I have to pay now.
No, maybe you're right. Give me 15.
It's in the other room.
Mm-hmm.
Uh-oh.
All right.
Should I go get it? I mean, how is
Please.
It? All right.
No. We'll say bye, and then I'll walk you out and take your money.
Okay.
And steal your heart. Oh, we have an outro.
Yes, we do. Gay walking.
Because you are gay.
For Christ's sake, though, with the Sarah and the Laura living under one roof, don't you feel like you'd shout out one or the other three times a day and screw it up?
Do your parents often do that?
Yeah, well, yeah.
All right. We'll take ourselves a break. Laura Silverman, tonight on House. Hey, Laura, hey, you want to hang out for the news?
Sure.
You're not going anywhere.
I'll stay.
T, what do you got?
Well, there's new information in the Natalie Holloway case. She's the young woman who went missing in Aruba. There's a Britney Spears update. And how much should you spend on Valentine's Day?
I also have a very lovely clip to play from E.T. about little Dani Lynn. You know, it's her mom's one-year anniversary of her death, and they're going to take a trip to her grave.
Oh, yay.
It's going to make every parent nauseated, and we'll do that next.
Let's check Adam's voicemail on the Adam Carolla Show.
Sick of hearing how much money you make. Sick of it. I work hard for my money. Sick of it.
Now back to the Adam Carolla Show.
Laura Silverman in studio. Dramatic actress Laura Silverman on House tonight.
That's right.
9 o'clock. Fox, watch her possibly die. I hope you
live. They almost always
Thank
live
you.
On House.
Hey, T.
Yeah.
You got the news, baby girl?
Sure do.
Let's do it.
Teresa Strasser with tomorrow's news. Today.
It is, of course, Super Tuesday. Arizona Senator John McCain is, if one believes the polls, on the verge of becoming the Republican Party's nominee. But he's facing attacks on his credentials and his temperament. Of course, those attacks come from both sides. The Republicans have some issue with him because he's for campaign reform. He's against torture. He's maybe a little soft on immigration. He says that coming out against so-called pork barrel spending has made him very unpopular in Washington.
Good name for TSV, by the way.
I've never been elected Miss Congeniality because I've fought against these practices which have caused the American people to hold us in such low esteem.
He's sending a message to the fat cats in Washington.
That's right.
Laura, did I tell you about my theory that I could be elected to any office by just repeating that phrase over and over again?
No.
What are you doing? I'm sending a message to the fat cats in Washington. Everyone would just start cheering. You can ask me whatever you want. Education, economy, immigration. I'll tell you what I'm going to do. And then I would mix it up every once in a while. I'd go, I'll tell you what I'm not going to do. What I'm not going to do is send a message to the fat cats in Washington.
I think it would work.
I'd get your vote, right?
Absolutely.
And that would be one more vote, which would be a clear message sent to the fat cats in Washington.
Will I Am from the Black Eyed Peas is sending a message to the fat cats in Washington. He's put together a video called Yes, We Can.
Wait a minute. He ate green eggs and ham on a train and on a plane?
Will I Am green eggs and ham. He supports Barack Obama.
On a boat with a goat. Oh, that's Zeus. He was marvelous. What a genius. He rhymed train and plane, everybody.
Yeah.
He rhymed ox and box. What a genius.
His song was recorded less than a week ago in Los Angeles, and the We Are the World style video features stars reciting or singing along to the Obama speech on top of a stark black background. Some of the stars include Kate Walsh, John Legend, Aisha Tyler, Amber Valletta, Taryn Manning, Nicole Scherzinger, Scarlett Johansson, and Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Hey, where are the white women at?
Why do I hate Kate Walsh?
Kate Walsh.
Why do I hate her?
She's the redhead from Private Practice.
Yes. Why does she bother me?
Oof.
Am I to trust that? Or is she a great gal and I just need recalibrating?
I don't know. Where do you stand, Laura?
A little too into herself?
I don't know. I just feel like I don't want to...
Hmm?
I don't want to say...
Do you know her?
Something mean about someone I don't know.
Oh, go ahead. It's liberating.
Oh, she bugs me too.
Yeah!
Wow. She first came out against Deborah Messing, and now Kate Walsh. It's the redhead.
No, I came out against the show Will and Grace.
Very annoying show.
Yes.
Well, annoying show, and also I auditioned for the guy who created it, and mm-hmm. he humiliated me in the
what?
Audition. And I've never been humiliated in an audition, except by that woman from the Ray Romano show. What's her name?
Well, Laura,
yeah,
not accepting oral, I would argue.
Patricia Heaton? Wait, I got to hear this story. Did you audition for Will and Grace?
Well, the Patricia Heaton thing, I took it out on her, but really it was just the whole room who humiliated
How were you humiliated
me.
By the Will and Grace creator?
What's his name? Max Muchnick or somebody?
Yes. I did my read, and, I thought it was all right. And I didn't do the whole, sort of spastic, having an epileptic seizure and peeing yourself while doing backflips on every line.
Mm-hmm.
Like they
you
do
gave it
on
a straighter
those shows.
Read.
I was earnest. And,
right.
He looked at me and he said, "Have you ever even seen a sitcom?"
Even.
Seen a sitcom.
By the way, as if that would be a strike against you.
And, I came back with the ultimate, fighting power, which was I complimented his writing and said I thought the writing was so good that it didn't need all that,
mm-hmm.
and it good made one. Him hate me more.
Wow.
And then he pretty much said thank you for wasting my time.
I said good day.
Wow.
What a Patricia Heaton.
I've never been so humiliated.
No, that's terrible.
No, that it's like I auditioned for her show, but it was like a whole mix up, and they already were like, had people testing, and it was just like, so they just didn't want to see me, but I was there, and so they just kind of froze me out. Like, they at least fake laugh when you're in an audition,
mm-hmm.
and if it's a big room with like all the producers and writers and everybody, they laugh mm-hmm. at every horrible joke, which
right.
every joke was horrible.
Right.
They didn't do that. They didn't do the fake laughing.
Mm-hmm.
It was dead silent. And you know, I walked out of there and I started sobbing, crying, and I called my manager and I said something crazy like, he was like, why are you crying? And I was like, you should be glad I'm crying. It means I still care.
Well, that was great acting right there.
Thank you.
Now, when you left the Will and Grace audition where he took time out to humiliate and shame you, what was the rest of that day like?
I think I was sort of in that state of like just numb, but just horrified. And
how do you treat that?
I don't know. It was kind of like you can't help but walk around going, God, I wish I had just done a better job. And I, you know, like I should know better than to go into a sitcom audition and not do that kind of acting. But I'm not very good at it. So I tried to go with what I was good at.
You know how it gets worse?
How?
Her cell phone rings and it's Sarah. Guess who's hosting the Independent Spirit Awards this year? Awesome.
Or even
worse. I bet I could get you in through the kitchen.
Maybe not.
Gotta go.
Just booked a huge guest star on Will and Grace.
It's all right.
All right. Well, let's not live in the past, eh?
Jack Nicholson, a good actor, a great actor.
Did he humiliate you in any way?
Well,
no.
He's supporting Hillary Clinton along with Barbara Streisand and Danny DeVito.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like Hillary doesn't have celebrity endorsements.
Mm-hmm. No kidding.
Yeah.
All right.
Barack certainly got a lot more.
I feel like Barack is gathering the momentum.
Yeah,
yes,
very much so.
You know what I sort of feel like? I feel like we want to change, and we like the idea of having a woman or a person of color, somebody who wasn't formally in the White House before. We, I think, as a country are now digging that idea where people go, do you think you're evolved enough to accept this? It's like, if it was a choice, there were two beautiful women. One was black and the other was white. And I liked them both equally. But people kept coming up to me going, you know what? I really think that's awesome that you're seeing the black girl. I would give the nod to the black chick just because I'm feeling better about myself. I'm feeling evolved as a person. They're equal. It's a coin toss. But I get more kudos for going out with the black chick. So I would probably give the nod to the black chick. Now, we had the same thing with Hillary and Barack because that's just a tie. We haven't had them in the department, in the office.
I think it's coming down more to like who is a better person.
Yes, and now I'm saying I think we like Barack better.
Yes,
I think that's what's going on.
I don't know. Hillary Clinton voted for your Patriot Act twice.
Oh, really?
She could be your girl.
She likes torture.
Dry as a flake.
I don't care if she's not a good public speaker. That's not important.
It's
to
not
me.
Even that. It's just I don't know. I feel like she is a. Just, you know, very manufactured.
He is more charismatic than she is. You and know, as much as we say that shouldn't factor in, it does.
He's easy on the eyes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I really think it's first of all.
He has a small head, so he's getting your vote, right?
Kind of, you know, out of nowhere. But, you know, I this is just my opinion is that I really think that he's going to send a message to the fat cats in Washington.
Yeah. Take that, Washington.
By the way, Max Muchnick, that's what you call a callback. Okay, watch a sitcom.
And you know what else I'm going to repeat? When people get tired of that, I'm going to yell, not on my watch.
That's
the next one. So I'm going to go, I'm going to send a message to the fat cats in Washington, and it's not going to be on my watch.
You know, the president sets the tone more than anything. You know, it's a democracy. We have a balance of power. So the president, you know, if they're charming, if they seem intelligent, they're uplifting, they're excited, they're good looking.
Mm-hmm.
It goes a long way.
But what about this
makes
slippery slope, Laura Silverman? What if Barack does an incredible job and he kicks ass his first year or first 4 years, first term? Then we reelect him and he kicks ass again. I mean, crime goes away. There's no poverty. Everyone is educated. I mean, this guy does an awesome job. The world loves us. Don't you think we're going to want to vote another black guy in? And then where does it end?
Slightly darker even.
Yeah. Like, hey, if this guy's good, if this guy's, you know,
we're
light,
just gonna go, like
mocha
shade, darker,
shade is good.
Shade darker, shade darker.
Let's get Wesley Snipes in there. Really kick some ass. You know what I'm saying?
And then you got to start medium to light.
What I'm saying is 100 years from now, we're all sitting around going, do you think a white man could handle the presidency? Do you know what I'm saying?
I don't know. Slippery slope.
I agree with Laura Silverman. Go ahead.
Slippery slope.
Okay, I'm going to skip Natalie Holloway because time is short, but I will get to Britney. God forbid it's a Britney-free newscast.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the latest. Court Commissioner Reva Getz extended the conservatorship of Jamie Spears, that's Britney's dad, until February 14th, which is next Tuesday. Meanwhile, that attorney will continue to serve as co-conspirator.
Doesn't Jamie Spears sound like a porn name?
A little bit.
Who you're going to be working with today? Jamie Spears. Ugh, good luck. There's a Vicodin.
The commissioner also ordered that Sam Lutfi, her manager slash Svengali,
Sammy,
is to have, and Brian's old roommate, is to have no contact whatsoever with Britney. Britney's father obtained a restraining order against Lutfi this past Friday, but he hasn't been served yet because he won't open up his door. Sam is locked in to his home, Brian, so because he doesn't want to get served. Now, here's a strange twist. Barbara Streisand gets involved.
I don't know much about the law, but I do see a lot of commercials on MTV. When you get served, it means a guy with his hat on crooked does a crazy dance thing in front of you.
Well, they've taken the phrasing from our legal system where you need to get served with a summons.
Boring. Just keep going. I just know a guy with his pants on backwards dances funny in front of me with his underpants hanging out.
Okay, here's how Barbara Streisand is now involved in this whole Britney situation. This is bizarre. Adam Streisand, Barbara Streisand's second cousin, was allegedly retained by Britney over the weekend to represent her. She wants Jamie Spears, her dad, removed as her conservator. He asked that the Northern Trust Bank and Britney's business manager, Howard Grossman, be put in charge instead of Jamie. In the end, Streisand, that is Adam, was removed from the courtroom. The commissioner decided that Britney lacks the capacity to make her own decisions, and that means that she lacks the capacity to hire her own lawyer. So the court didn't recognize Streisand.
All right, I'm going to say Tiki Barber knows that Adam Streisand is Barbara's third cousin.
Oh, definitely.
Yeah, okay. I say
knows.
Do you think
he knows who Sam Lutfi is?
No. Laura knows? Yeah.
Valentine's Day is coming up.
Oh, good Christ.
And how much should you spend on someone? There's a dating site called lavalife.com. And they have some suggestions. If you've been dating for less than 2 months, you're supposed to spend $60 on a Valentine's Day gift. Less than 2 months. $100 if you've been dating for 4 months or less. $200 and under if you've been dating between 4 and 6 months. 6 months or longer, unload $300 on Valentine's Day, which usually means jewelry.
Mm-hmm. And again, this is all geared toward guys, right?
Yes.
Like, women don't spend anything. But they do, because they're the ones that get excited about it.
Right, I know.
But what happened?
They set themselves up to be humiliated and disappointed when they spend more.
Well, don't you think? I'm glad you're bitter as well, Laura, but what the... wasn't there a time when anniversaries and Valentine's Day were sort of 50-50? Like the burden was on both sexes?
Yeah,
or am I making this up?
Yeah.
No, it's shifted. It's 80-20.
The guy has to just like make an extra effort to like maybe shower, put on some clean clothes.
But you're going to have to put out, let's face it.
Yeah. Look,
hopefully you want to.
That's my point.
If you're still together on Valentine's Day,
my point is it has become the burden is placed on the guy not to disappoint for the anniversary, not to disappoint for Valentine's Day.
That is true, Because maybe he's more likely to.
Yeah, and you guys know we don't really care. And I don't trust that guy.
So it's a passive aggressive way of us that we tell you we love you.
Right. All right. Well, that's not coming until May anyway, so we got time.
I also think if a guy dumps you within 2 months of Valentine's Day, he owes you a gift because no one else is going to ask you out in that period.
I'm glad. Right. Because no one wants to start dating you.
Yes. You got
the stink of failure
until the
15th. Right. Yeah,
well, exactly. No, because they don't. Because it's too awkward. It's too new. So
what
they don't
do?
Want to be dating you during Valentine's Day when it's too new.
Yeah. Right.
So they, you know.
I'm glad you mentioned that because according to this website, if a woman has had just one date with you in the month of February, she will be hoping for a Valentine's Day gift. I'm Teresa Strasser. You've been served.
Tomorrow's news. Today, Teresa Strasser.
Well, we'll take a quick break and be back to wrap it up with Laura Silverman on House tonight.
Exactly.
Ah, yeah, where are we? Ah, Laura Silverman. Well, a delight. Let's give some thanks where thanks are due, by the way. First off, T.J. Miller is going to be at the Irvine Improv tonight. Also, Cloverfield, of course, out in theaters as we speak. Laura Silverman, House.
Why are you crying?
Tonight, 9 p.m. on Fox. And you can go to AdamCarolla.com and win yourself some tickets to our Knight Rider party at the Playboy Mansion, which is coming up on the 12th of February. Also, you can listen to the show at Free2HD at AdamCarolla.com. And until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Teresa Strasser saying mahalo.
You should be glad I'm crying. It means I still care.